much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
In my long career, I've seen some pretty shabby things. But this putrid fraud outstinks them all.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
It's Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend.
Hooray! It's just like Mardi Gras!
Please do nothing besides throw up on the radio. Oh my God, it's so funny! And also, of course, fire peanuts.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I respect wood. I revere wood.
Roll another one.
I gotta play, you know, and still try to get to the
just
hole.
Just like the other one.
Girl, you got to keep your clothes
this
on.
This seems to be about to quit.
This is it.
This is it.
This is what we're talking about.
Another year.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
And then the vomit started.
Roll another one.
These girls, man, they're getting on my neck.
Just like the other one.
Antigonish, Nova Scotia. Hello.
This one seems to be about to end.
Hey, cat.
I don't have another cent.
Suck, reindeer game.
Not Ben Affleck.
Your wife, the new Ben Affleck.
I don't want to guard that joint.
Look at me, I've got girl boobs.
Just pass it around.
Well, guess what?
It's hammer time.
I don't want to guard that joint, my friend.
Whoa, only in America. Wow.
Nope, it's too many wells. I'm going to re-enter.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is a Friday morning.
What's up, party people?
They're fine.
Yeah. Well, that's not what I was asking.
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me.
This could be the last Kevin and Bean show ever.
That's true.
For you.
I know, right? Well yeah.
Kevin and Bean,
well,
that
we
is half of it.
Well, we keep the name, wouldn't we?
You could, yeah.
I mean, they do that all the time. Like bands
if I'm dead,
games,
you guys can, you guys can
hire another Bean?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's getting real now, you guys. It's happening.
It is happening. Right. Yeah.
Did something scare you yesterday?
No, just okay. In general. Yeah, right. you get closer to
of
it.
Of course.
You know, it's easy to say you're not afraid of skydiving when it's a month away.
Of course.
And then you start to put on the parachute, and they open the door, then you go, "Wait, what's going on here?
Who packed my chute again? Is everyone cool with this? Everybody on board yet?"
Exactly. Lisa, I don't know if you were around or what day it was, but we were talking about how it'd be hilarious if we called Scott Mason, my kidney's recipient, mm-hmm. on the air and told him it was all a gag.
Or that you changed your mind, you needed to back out.
You've just been pranked. It's weenie in the butt.
I don't think he'd find it funny, though.
I don't think he'd find it that amusing anyway.
No.
Anyway, real quick, here's a great story. You know how we always talk about the guys who get in the relationships and then the girlfriend breaks up with them, and then just to prove that they're not crazy and that she made a mistake to break up with him, they go out to her workplace and shoot and kill a whole bunch of people?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens then? Because then the woman says, you know what? He was a great guy. I should have stayed with him.
Yes,
I was
always.
Wrong. I was wrong.
That guy that just killed everybody in my office, I should give him a second look.
Right. Well, here's a story. Thank God it didn't have that tragic of consequences. His name is Bunty Verma. Bunty Verma is a 32-year-old television repairman from Sendwa, India. And apparently his wife left him because he was always belittling her, insulting her, making fun of her. And she just got tired of it.
Of course.
Who can blame her? So she packs up their little daughter and she leaves him. And he is devastated. No, this time I'm going to change. He was distraught. So what he decided to do was, since he realized that it was his mouth that was causing the problems.
No.
Is he cut off his tongue.
Oh.
He reached out to his estranged wife with a note explaining that since it was his tongue that was responsible for his cruel words, he had sliced it off.
Turns out it was his heart that was responsible for the cruel words, not his tongue.
I was going to say, don't they have therapy? Can't they start with
that
therapy?
Isn't good for you.
Remarkably, his wife declined to take it back.
Wow, what a surprise.
After he cut off his tongue. How about that?
That's a burn. Right?
What? Yeah, you cut off your tongue and then she goes, no.
Yeah.
You know, you would actually, well, you know me, I'd actually feel really, really bad. I'd be torn.
Would you, about going back?
A little bit.
But
wouldn't
you think this guy has so many psychological problems that I don't need that in my life?
Yes.
Because that is nuts. Yeah. There's no rational explanation for that. If you can't figure out a better system to not abuse me with your language than cutting off your tongue, then you're not smart enough for me to want to be with, I would
Plus,
think.
Plus, it makes it less. I can't say that.
Plus,
his abilities in the bed are diminished.
Right. Takes a tool out of the belt.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, so if you take anything away from today's show, don't cut off your tongue to impress a chick.
Okay. I will take that off my list.
That's an important message to hear.
Sure.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Oh, God, this is so disgusting. I think I'm going to puke.
Oh.
It's going to be going.
Stop.
Oh, dear God. Oh.
We have.
Yeah, what the hell? I don't want.
Dad, I'm scared.
We have to have less throw up on this show.
Oh,
I agree. It's gotten out of control, right?
We have to stop.
It's ridiculous.
You just played it.
My God, why is there vomit everywhere?
That's a great question, Stewie. We don't know.
Tony Hawk will be on the program today.
Nice. How about that?
Talking about the Bones Brigade documentary, which is a fascinating documentary. Cousin Sal will be here with his NFL picks.
Mm-hmm.
We have a brand new internet roundup for you. We have Jeremy Piven on the program today.
Wow.
We have Braxton Southwick, who sounds like he's...
So the Gossip Girl, right?
Sounds like that, yeah. He's a doomsday prepper, don't you know? And the doomsday preppers are the best because...
They're awesome.
They're convinced that the world is going to go through some type of mass destruction and probably in the next year or so. So they are piling stuff up and they've got bunkers and they've got weapons and they've got food for years.
They've got the last laugh when they're right and we're wrong and they're alive and we're dead.
And we're all going to be knocking on Braxton's door going, dude, we interviewed you. Let us in. Movie Beat, because it's Friday, we have our final pair of tickets for Breakfast with Mumford and Sons. And that's going to be at Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. if you'd like to hear that, if you don't get a chance to be there in person. But we're going to give you another chance to be there in person on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
That's not good.
It is good.
It's great. It's way good.
Yes.
106.7
K-Rock. Hide your light under a bushel. That's what I say.
It's KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
New topic immediately, please.
Easy there, kidney boy. Go about your business.
Right after
propofol the top, waiting for you.
Right after the top of the hour, in about 10 minutes or so, we are going to introduce you to maybe our favorite new person in the whole wide world.
Oh.
She wasn't thrilled with the turnout of Tuesday night's presidential election. She wasn't crazy about the way the vote was counted.
I don't know what you're basing that on. She sounded very calm and relaxed to me.
We'll listen to it and maybe read between the lines and see what she's really saying. But it's very, very funny. So hang on. That's coming up. 5:52. It's Friday. Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat.
Just a related story real quick. I thought this was pretty funny. You may remember the story. It caused a big hullabaloo for a couple minutes there during the lead up to the election about the guy who in Michigan... who hung an empty chair from his tree in his front yard. This was after the convention when Clint Eastwood talked to the empty chair and had a conversation with the imaginary ghost Obama. He hung a...
Oh, you mean like with a noose?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, empty chair, hung with a noose.
Shoot that guy right in the head.
Front of his yard.
Yeah.
Which, of course, was an allusion to the empty chair Eastwood spoke to, but also an allusion to lynching black people.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, there's... Here's the thing about black folks. I love them, but they're still sort of testy about that whole fact that people used to lynch them. Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I can.
Me too.
That seems really bad.
So Ken David is the guy who lynched that empty chair in his front yard. just before the election. The day after the election, he woke up and found someone had nailed another chair to his front driveway with a sign saying four more years painted on it. David immediately complained.
Went to the police.
Yeah, good luck.
I was trying to find out the culprits who would do such a thing. Police say when he woke up and saw the chair, he turned to his wife and said, "That's not nice."
That's not enough for him. They should have done something worse.
I think it's perfect. Wow. I think it's a nice little tit for tat, if you will.
Oh, I see.
You all want to blame the brothers.
No, not at all. Just thought it was kind
of
fun. We want
to blame Ken.
Was it a black guy?
No, who knows? Doesn't matter. Here's the thing. I told you that Honey Boo Boo from TLC's juggernaut of a television show, the Honey Boo Boo Good Time Variety Hour.
Right.
Has a pet chicken named Nugget.
Yeah.
Well, she got rid of her pig, but now she's got Nugget.
You don't have bad news about Nugget, do
you? I don't have bad news about Nugget.
In the house, though, if I'm...
Oh, sure. Well, okay. Where else do you put a chicken, Kevin? It's got to live in your house with you.
Only outside.
Oh, that's right. Sometimes people put them everywhere. Outside. PETA has stepped up. PETA is now getting involved.
I hate to take PETA's side, but...
Well, you may not after you hear what PETA said in the press release. They're just demanding that Honey Boo Boo never eat her pet.
Right.
And in the letter it says, "I'm sure you are learning from your chicken that chickens are smart, interesting animals with personalities of their own. Chickens have good memories and no basic math." F you, PETA. These are the same people who told us fish knew how to tell time, remember? What the hell's going on over there, PETA? What kind of mushrooms are they eating? Where they think now chickens are doing math and fish are telling time. They've lost their minds over there.
What's your source of information, PETA?
There may be a lot of reasons not to eat a chicken, and I understand their point of view, but don't start telling me chickens do math. There's got to be another reason you can put on the list before math. Chickens can do your taxes. They're really useful. Please don't eat them.
He
can balance your checkbook.
He'll just peck out the numbers.
I'll tell you something else, though. That chicken is a Nugget. It's smarter than Sugar Bear. I guarantee that.
No question.
Absolutely. And imagine what a amusement park it must be for a chicken with all those cheese puffs all over the ground and on the floor in their living room.
It's going to be the fattest chicken ever.
It'll just go around. It'll be like a smorgasbord for chickens.
Her favorite foods are sketty and butter.
I just think good things are going to happen to Nugget. I think he's going to have a very happy life.
I think Nugget won't make the weekend.
Certainly won't make Thanksgiving.
Evil succubus Tadoff Switler in the news.
How dare you? What's going on with my sweet T-Swizzle?
Friends. I always like it when friends tell the press something really bad about their friend.
Those nice friends.
Friends are saying that the reason Taylor can't have a successful relationship is because she is a workaholic and treats her relationships like jobs. Friends says She puts enormous pressure on the other person and usually kills the deal, and then she complains and can't understand why the romance didn't work out. So apparently she's not the little princess we think she is. She's a shrew. She's a hellish shrew cat.
Look, for her, relationships are not relationships. They're another song.
That's true.
So it is
if
a business.
If they don't break up, she's out of business.
It is a business,
so
right.
So subconsciously she has to sabotage
Correct.
Them, right? Lady Gaga garnering attention this week because she was seen on the balcony of her hotel in Rio de Janeiro last Wednesday wearing nothing but black underwear.
Yeah.
Apparently she's trying hard to be sexy, isn't
she's
she?
She's bringing the girls out for
she
everyone
really
to see from her balcony.
Trying, and she should try less.
Yeah. How come Kate Upton never stars in these stories? Why is it always Lady Gaga? Word is she then covered herself with a striped towel. And the story says, and a green melon.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like her.
She was holding, it wasn't like a watermelon, son, but she was holding a melon over her boob. Why? I don't know.
Melon over her melons?
Yeah. It's not attractive. She shouldn't do that.
No.
She should put on all those costumes and just keep them on full time.
Put on more costumes. Yeah. All the costumes you have, put them all on.
Yes, at once.
And more Star Wars rumors. Apparently there is already a writer on the case, Michael Arndt. Disney employee who's already won an Oscar. He wrote Toy Story 3, Little Miss Sunshine, and The Hunger Games Catching Fire.
Oh, wow. That seems good.
Disney has tapped him to flesh out the next three movies in the series.
No!
Oh, come on! as they say in the Star Wars universe, episodes 7, 8, and 9. The rumor is he has already penned a 40 to 50 page treatment for the film, so he is putting together the next three. He's tying them all together, putting the trilogy together.
No pressure there. Can you imagine?
Taking on the Star Wars franchise.
Imagine sitting down to a blank page and going, all right, Star Wars.
However, if you are a fan,
yeah,
you're given the ultimate opportunity to do everything right that you thought was done wrong.
But a lot of pressure.
Look, I keep thinking,
really,
you
though,
told me.
Given the crap that the last three films
took. George Lucas tried to lower the bar as much as he could.
I think he succeeded. He lowered the bar, and a lot of fans were miserable with what he did with those three films. Imagine, given the opportunity, people are going to give you a lot of slack, I think, to try to revive that franchise to its former glory.
But it's also so difficult to get something that people will agree on is what they want to do. I mean, look at what your friend Kevin Smith went through with his Superman script. I mean, here's a guy who loved Superman, had a great idea for Superman, sat down and wrote it. I'm sure it was a very good script, yet people wouldn't make it.
Yeah.
You know, your vision has to match everybody else's vision in order for it to be to go forward.
He's right. It could be one guy.
That only depends on who you're working with, and he was working with John Peters at the time, who's a loon. And so, you know, if a guy's demanding that you put a mechanical spider in a script just because he wants to see a mechanical spider on the screen, you're going to be hard-pressed. I get the sense that Disney values its property enough to recognize that they need to bring in top-notch creative people and let them do what they do.
That's true.
And while we're talking about top-notch creative people, Michael Bay announced yesterday that there will be a Transformers 4.
Oh, thank God.
June 27th.
There's so many unanswered questions after the third one.
I saw Transformers 4. It was called Battleship.
When will Peekabot finally get his oil change? When's that going to happen? I have no idea about any of those shows. June 27th, 2014.
Oh, I got to write that down.
Circle your calendars. The star will not be Shia LaBeouf, who, as I told you later in the week, was demanding $18 million to star in the film.
Right.
Apparently, Mark Wahlberg is willing to take less. And so Bay has tapped Mark Wahlberg to step in as the hero of the newly rebooted Transformers franchise.
This movie does look good.
I know, Bean. I think you'll enjoy it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Nikki Blonsky, star of Hairspray, is 24 years old today. Vanessa Manillo Lachey is 32 years old. Cisco! We got to get some thongy thong 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 song up for next hour. He's 34 years old.
I don't know him, but his kid was a friend of mine.
File.
Oh, my God.
Cisco's kid was a friend of mine.
Is there any point, though? Because really be back?
File.
What?
I hope they nick an artery. That's all I ask for. Just one shaky surgeon. That's all we need. Just a guy, a little hungover. Just a guy who had too many glasses of wine at dinner the night before.
He had too many coffees in the morning.
Who my surgeon is, and have vodka delivered to his home the night before.
Nick Lachey, Vanessa Manillo's husband, also celebrates his birthday today. Isn't that cute? That's cute when couples have the same birthday. Eric Dane, he was Mick Clappy from Grey's Anatomy, of course, 40 years old today. Peppa of Salt and Peppa is 48. And Lou Ferrigno, legendary bodybuilder, actor, the Incredible Hulk himself. Lou Ferrigno is 61 years old today, still in amazing shape at 61. And yes, people, in the next hour, we will have Beer Mug's in-depth interview with Lou Ferrigno.
Oh, thank God.
To bring you to celebrate Lou's birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Let's talk about my new ex-wife. My future ex-wife.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday. Ralph's got the movie beat coming up in minutes, and then we'll meet another doomsday prepper coming up here this hour as well. Plus, your last chance at Mumford & Sons tickets are next hour. Look, the election is over, and whether your presidential candidate of choice won or not, it's time to move on and go, hey, this is the way democracy works. This is the system that we have decided to have in this country, and we have a president. He's president for all of us, whether we like him or not. We just have to move on and try to do maybe have some other things in your life that you can be happy about if you're not happy about who the president is. That's not the advice that Shelley is going to be taking. Shelley is a 41-year-old Republican who has worked quite actively, it seems like, on her YouTube channel with hundreds of videos to try to get the message out there that President Obama is an unfit man to serve in the White House and that people need to get off their butts and vote for Mitt Romney. Well, when the election results were coming in on Tuesday night, she wasn't all that happy about the direction it was going.
And by not all that happy, you mean she lost it. It's so awesome to watch somebody just melt down in front of your eyes.
Now, before we play some highlights of this audio, we've selected a couple of minutes of this rant. It's 24 minutes long, by the way.
She just starts recording and just starts ranting.
I can't rant for 24 minutes.
You couldn't rant for 24. No matter how passionate you were about it, you would run out of steam at about 5, right?
I need to lay down at 12 and take a nap. I might come back to it, but I need some time off.
24 minutes of just rambling. And as you'll see, she's not just upset about who won the election. She's upset that she's doing all the work. And her other people that are looking at her YouTube channel are not picking it up and running with it. Like, how about a little help here? I'm fighting this battle by myself, essentially.
That is who she's angry at. She does believe that Obama will bring the end of the world. That is true. But she's mad at all of the people who watched her videos and liked it and didn't help her. And she's very upset. And she starts screaming immediately.
All of the bastards who have said over all of these years that Obama has to go, yet I can make 15 posts on Facebook and not one of you will share it with people who don't want to see it because you don't want to offend somebody. Well, how do you like it tonight? How do you like the fact that Obama won the election? Is that settling well with you? It's not settling well with me.
Now, I love her so much because you know people liked the video because she's crazy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's not like people go, yeah, everything you're saying
Say
is right
it,
on. Because if they thought that, they would forward it to people. You know how everybody tries to share their political views. So this woman is really upset that people might like her videos and didn't get on the stick and really share it with everybody else like she has. And she's very upset.
I have busted my ass over the last 4 years. I just got a computer 4 years ago. So excuse me, it took me about a year to teach myself how to properly use it. I had 220 videos on my first YouTube channel.
Wow! By the way, that's pretty good.
220 videos. By the way, it won't surprise you that she's single, right?
Of course not.
And she has no friends.
None. She got a computer 4 years ago. It took her a year to learn it. So in the last 3 years, she had 200 videos.
On just one of her channels, Kevin.
That's prolific.
She goes on.
But you people didn't share. Because you didn't want to offend people that might not agree with what you posted, yet you'd like what I posted, and some of you not even bothered to do that.
Some of you didn't even tell me that you liked my post. It doesn't occur to her that people might not like her post.
Figure out how to use the internet or get the off of it.
That's good advice.
This is such bullshit. God, I'm sick and tired of this. I spend hours upon hours upon hours mining the news and finding things to post for you to share with other people, and yet very little of you do it. Some of you do. I appreciate every one of you that do, and I'm not talking to you, so don't comment here.
What? Well, don't yell at me, then.
Comment or don't comment. What do you want?
Wait, I'm supposed to comment or I'm supposed to get off the effing internet? I'm confused now.
She rules so hard.
She spent hours and hours and days and hours for us, you guys.
Yes, and then we let her down.
And most of what she puts up on her channel, by the way, are clips from the Glenn Beck show or the Bill O'Reilly show or something like that. I mean,
so
we could just
watch that stuff if we wanted.
Yeah, we pretty much just watch that stuff, yeah. By the way, in case you're wondering what her policy on comments is, this video that went up that now has 370,000 hits, by the way, this video that we're listening to right now, she had to disable the comments on day one because obviously, you know, people were doing nothing but making fun of her. And so she disabled the comments and said the people who were commenting were uneducated, simple-minded fools, and 90% of them were mentally disabled. That's what she said about the people who did choose to comment on her videos.
Wow. I think she meant herself. All right, let's continue.
I'm talking to all you namby-pamby pussies who don't want to find your voice or put your voice out there. Get the off the internet.
Completely?
Wait.
Can I not use Amazon anymore?
I can't go on the internet for email?
What if I need MapQuest? I'm going someplace. Come on, Shelly.
And by the way, can you imagine living with her? All that spit coming out of her mouth every time you... You get the off the internet.
You are of no use to anybody.
Uh-oh.
Shut your f***ing accounts down. Shut your mouths, fall in line and love socialist America, because that's what you got. You want to call me unhinged? I am.
All right. Here's where she admits to maybe she's a little crazy.
You'd be right. I am totally f***ing unhinged right now. F*** you. All you goddamn Ron Paul supporters, you Gary Johnson voting douchebags. Kiss my ass. You want to really do it? I'll give you my address.
Oh, please. I would love to kiss your ass.
I'll be happy to greet you at my door. I'll be happy to find you in my bedroom in the middle of the night, you assholes.
Now, what does that mean?
Come on over. I'll kill you and I'll enjoy doing it.
That's what
it you goddamn mother. You think another 4 years of Obama is going to be so much better than 4 years of Romney?
I think that's what the election said. I think that recaps the election. The election said more people think the next 4 years are going to be better with Obama. That is what the election said really precisely.
You're too stupid to live here. Go to hell, libertarians. You didn't vote for the United States of America is now officially a socialist country.
Oh.
You ignorant f***s. You may as well go to Canada. I'm really pissed off tonight.
What?
F*** you. And thank you so much. You've been so helpful. Now get the f*** out of the way.
I must invite her to Thanksgiving dinner at my house.
What a great Thanksgiving dinner that would be. Just let her sit at the head of the table and just scream at people. I need to have sex with her.
She's the best. Friday means a couple of things on the Kevin and Bean Show, including Cousin Sal previewing the NFL weekend for us. That's coming up later on today. And it also means Ralph Garman is here with this week's movie.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
Only a couple movies in theaters this weekend, and who can blame them? Who would dare to take on 007? Only the 16th president of these United States, Abraham Lincoln, thinks he has a shot against him. And even Lincoln, by Steven Spielberg, is only opening up in limited release this weekend and expands to theaters everywhere on the 16th. So if you can't find it this weekend, it will be available for you to find easier next weekend. Daniel Day-Lewis stars as Abraham Lincoln. You may have heard of him. Yes, not only has he had the worst theater experience in the history of America, but he was also the president, and he did a couple things, you know, like abolish slavery. Oh, hi, how are you? I'm the president. Let me fix that for you. Let me take care of that evil. Let me get rid of that for you.
Killed vampires?
He didn't kill any vampires.
I saw it.
He was a president during perhaps the worst time in American history. A civil war, brother against brother. Cousin against cousin. Retailer against customer. It was a bad time.
People don't know the Civil War is still far and away, by many, many multiplication tables, the most casualties ever in a war for the United States.
Sure. I mean, you had Americans killing Americans.
Yeah, hundreds of thousands of people were killed in that war. And he was the guy who was in charge of trying to put the Union back together. I fear if something like that ever happened again, we don't have guys like Lincoln to navigate through those waters anymore. I think we'd just be dead.
Talk about your Obama. He was a wildly unpopular president.
Totally, yeah.
I mean, half the country hated him with a white-hot passion. And when he was trying to stitch the country back together, he was also trying to do the right thing and abolish slavery, which is what this war was all about. So he's trying to put the Union back together and also handle one of the most immoral practices in American history, trying to get rid of that.
And at night, he was killing vampires.
He didn't! An amazing cast Spielberg has put together for this film. Daniel Day-Lewis, of course, as the titular Lincoln. Stop it. Sally Field as his wife, Mary Todd Lincoln. David Strathairn, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Tommy Lee Jones. I mean, just an amazing cast of people in this film. Here are some clips from the trailer to Spielberg's Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln has asked us to work with him to accomplish the death of slavery.
No one's ever been loved so much by the people. Don't waste that power.
This fight is for the United States of America.
This settles the fate for all coming time. Not only of the millions now in bondage, but of unborn millions to come.
Vampires.
No vampires.
What? I didn't say anything.
God damn it. This movie looks remarkable. Looks just like one of those sweeping epics that just has emotional power as well as just visual grandeur. Spielberg does this kind of stuff, I think, maybe better than anybody. Looks terrific. I can't wait to check it out this week.
Me too.
And then, as I mentioned, a little movie called Skyfall.
Yeah!
The new James Bond movie by Sam Mendes. I'm telling you, it is one of my favorite James Bond movies ever. And everyone knows it's a very public fetish of mine that I've got a little thing, a little Batman fixation. But second to that, really, throughout the history of my life has been my my love of Bond. I love these movies. I've seen all of them multiple times. Oh, not me. Dave the King of Mexico.
Hasn't seen any.
It is a franchise, the greatest franchise in movie history, bar none. 23 films in now. It really was the template for all action films as we know them now. If you enjoyed the Batman trilogy by Christopher Nolan, if you liked Avengers, if you liked Iron Man, any of those sort of films,
the
Bourne movies, anything that you've enjoyed over the past 50 years that had a hero going against a villain and a major backdrop of action and adventure, really the Bond films created that template. They were the ones who gave you the formula to a successful film of that kind.
Ice Age.
Ice Age was like that, yeah, sure. Welcome to Mooseport. But here's the thing. The series itself has had its ups and downs. It's been a victim of times of the era that it was created in. If you go back and look at some of the 70s films featuring Roger Moore, they're sort of goofy and ridiculous. And the Connery films in the 60s certainly have a Cold War flavor to them. Pierce Brosnan did his best to try to reinvigorate the Bond character for a new era. And then it fell to Daniel Craig, who is our current James Bond. And the first film, Casino Royale, took a wild departure from the formula, trying to break that and create a brand new Bond for a new era. And in my opinion, although I enjoyed that film, I thought it lost a lot of the elements that made James Bond movies James Bond movies. Things that were unique to them, recurring themes, recurring characters, recurring elements that really made those films enjoyable for me. So I missed that aspect of it. Quantum of Solace had a messy script. It was kind of top-heavy with action. It was not very satisfying for a lot of Bond fans like myself. And then now, Sam Mendes has put it all together. This is the true reboot of the franchise, in my opinion. He has taken all of the characters we know and love, all of those elements, including the pre-action, pre-titles action sequence, which is brilliant in this film. And then you get the classic Bond-type theme sung by Adele to one of those special effects sequences, the title sequence where you see the nude women underwater in silhouette. I mean, all of those things that say it's a James Bond movie to you are back. And then, on top of it, he also stands the franchise on its head and makes it much more realistic and action-packed. So it's the best of both worlds for Bond fans. This is a great film beyond being a great Bond film. Daniel Craig returns. Judi Dench, of course, returns as M. Ralph Fiennes is added to the cast, an excellent cast. And Javier Bardem, I can't say enough about what a classic, iconic Bond villain he is. We haven't had a really strong, unique, memorable Bond villain in a long time. And Javier Bardem is brilliant as Silva in this film. I can't tell you how much I liked it.
Berenice Marlowe.
And, of course, when it comes to Bond girls, Berenice Marlowe, she is perhaps one of the best actresses ever to play a Bond girl. Now, don't get me wrong. She's not as good as Charlie Sheen's ex-wife.
Denise Richards, Dr. Christmas Jones.
As Dr. Christmas Jones. Nuclear physicist Dr. Christmas Jones.
May have been a misstep.
She may not be as good as Tawny Roberts was in A View to a Kill. But she's certainly up there. Enough of my raving and rambling. Let's play some clips from Skyfall.
007 reporting for duty.
Where the hell have you been?
Enjoying death.
Just look at you, chasing spies. England, MI6. She sent you after me, knowing you're not ready, knowing you would likely die. Mommy was very bad.
Everybody needs a hobby.
So what's yours?
Resurrection.
It's a new Bond where cyber terrorism is the system of violence that the arch-villain uses to attack civilized society as we know it. A lot of people say, well, this is very reminiscent to me. I've heard from other critics say, reminiscent to me of the Christopher Nolan Batman films. Nolan himself has said he patterned his Batman films after the James Bond films.
Oh,
so
right.
it's very cyclical. And you will love this film. Not only does it reboot the franchise, but it sets us up for a couple of more Daniel Craig Bond films yet to come. It'll make
Sweet.
You really want to see those films as well. Cannot rave more about Skyfall, an awesome film. That is my pick, obviously, for the weekend. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Got your tickets for Mumford and Sons. Exclusive Breakfast With, happening Tuesday at 7 a.m. right here on the Kevin Bean Show. One of the biggest bands in the world, Tiny Place. and Big Band. And you're going to be helping us ask questions and listen to the band perform live. We'll give you a chance to win those tickets between 7 and 8 o'clock this morning. Let me tell you two things about my new friend Braxton Southwick, Kevin.
Okay.
He has family live in the suburbs of Salt Lake City, Utah. He has maybe the best name of anyone we've ever talked to on this show, Braxton Southwick. That's thing one.
True.
Thing two is he gets the last laugh when we're all dead and he's living it up as the king of America because he's the only one who's thought ahead to prepare.
Is that your plan, Braxton?
Yeah, with a name like Braxton, shoot, I want to be president.
Might as well.
I guess I'll make it.
Now, Doomsday Preppers is a fantastic show, and it features people like yourself, Braxton. Why don't you tell people what it is you're convinced is going to happen and what you've done about it?
Well, on the show, we talk about a terrorist attack that I think will happen is a biological terrorist attack. So in the show, we follow me in. You help the military, help us train, and trained us in that scenario and what's going to happen and what we do. So my family's prepared for actually anything, not just a biological terrorist attack, whether it be a natural disaster or, you know, monetary system breaking down. We're really prepared for everything.
So you're prepared. Basically, what you do is you figure out how you and your family can survive, be healthy, be happy for as long as it takes. If you're cut off from the rest of the world, if it's a walking dead situation and there's no infrastructure anymore, there's no one to go to for help, you can take care of your own people.
Yeah, absolutely. You, my family, I've incorporated my friends in the neighborhood, so we have 7 different families in our neighborhood that we kind of circle the wagons and help protect each other. Everybody has an important job. And
he's like the governor on Walking Dead.
He is. He's the governor. He's the governor of Woodbury right now.
Yeah.
Now, did you grow up being afraid of the bomb or something, or is this something, a realization you came to as an adult that, hey, I need to step up and be prepared?
Yeah, it came as an adult. When my wife and I first got married, we, you know, let's do a food storage. Let's just be prepared in case something happens. And then after 9/11, it really, really stirred up something inside of me, and I realized how invulnerable we were.
See, that's
and
the,
it kind of
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Progressed from there.
That's the difference between you and me, is that I saw that, and I know that we might get hit with an attack. And I hope that doesn't happen. And I have, you know, duct tape. And I have about 2 days worth of food. Now, tell me how much food you have stored.
Well, for a family of 8, I've tried to do a year's supply. So just to give you an example, I have 800 pounds of wheat.
Oh, my.
600 pounds of
God.
Sugar, 600 pounds of flour. And just
where do you store it all?
Where do you store it all?
I have a basement here, and when it was unfinished when we bought the house, and I finished the basement, making a whole room just food storage. So it has concrete walls around. It stays 70 degrees year-round, and I built shelves in there, and that's where we keep it.
What's your address? What's your address? In case, just in case something happens, I need your address. What about
gas? If you make it up from L.A., I'll take you guys in and take care of it.
What about gasoline and stuff like that?
You know, that's important, too. I have 2 generators. So I in store 100 gallons of fuel and 100 gallons of diesel because I drive a diesel truck.
Okay.
Just in case we have to bug out to our location in up in the mountains at our cabin, I can make it there without.
Oh, you have a secondary location?
Yeah, it's our bug out location. I don't have a bunker, you know, like a lot of people do, but I have a cabin up in the mountains, and that's our bug out.
I need
location.
A bug out location. You do bug out just so you can say bug
yeah,
out.
Yeah, so I have one.
This is the voice of Braxton
it
Southwick.
Cool, huh?
It does. Braxton is on the show called Doomsday Preppers, which we talked a lot last season about the first season, some of the people that we met that we had on the show, too. The season 2 premiere is going to be this Tuesday night at 9 on the National Geographic Channel. I want to talk a little bit more about the kind of attacks that we might get. You mentioned that your system is going to help you no matter what bad things happen to America. But what is it you think it's going to be? Is it going to be radiation? Is it going to be smallpox? What do you think is likely to hit America if somebody decides that they're going to do it?
Yeah, you know, it's a biological weapon, any of them, and there's 5, whether it's ricin, you know, any of the others that, it, you know, these countries have.
So it's going to be a gas, basically, attack, or virus attack.
Well, yeah, that's a chemical.
Okay.
A biological is where it infects the body, and smallpox, I think, is first on a terrorist list. Smallpox, once you get it, it transfers from person to person. So in retrospect, it's like a nuclear weapon. It'll kill just as many people.
How are you prepared for smallpox?
We all have chemical masks and chemical suits. My children, they know, they all have cell phones, so if they get a text of 911 three times from me, they know something happens, they have to put on a mask, you know, just a filter painter mask wherever they are, and they have to come straight home, whether it's at school, they're at work.
Your kids go to school?
Of course they do, Kevin. Why wouldn't they?
Do they wear their masks to school?
No, but when my teenagers, they all have a mask in their car. And I make
wow. Let's talk about the family for a minute, because some of the people we saw last season on Doomsday Preppers, the usually it was the dad who was gung-ho about being prepared, and the family kind of begrudgingly went along just to keep the peace in the family. What's the reaction you get from the kids that, in your house?
You know, my kids are really, really highly involved, and you'll see that in the show. I mean, they have a lot of fun. They're older, and we started a long time ago when they were little, so they kind of grown up with it. But it was so important for me that my kids have normal American lives. So bugging is kind of, or prepping is kind of our night job or our weekend job during the day. We're the regular Southwick family from America.
All right, let me ask you one more thing, Mr. Southwick. I'm so glad you came on, because we really are fascinated, and you're going to get the last laugh if you're right and the rest of the world is wrong. But let's say you're wrong and nothing ever happens in your lifetime. Are you going to go to the grave thinking, wow, I sure wasted a lot of time bugging out and getting prepared and getting all that wheat and all that gas and everything else? Are you going to wish that you hadn't done all that if it turns out that nothing bad ever happens?
Absolutely not. You know, the food storage, what if I lose my job next week and no money coming in? We have our food storage. I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
So it's like it's
what
like
some people will do is go out and get another job.
Well, with our economy, shoot.
Well, it's not easy, but yeah.
Yeah. So you basically, it's worth it to you to have the peace of mind of knowing that you've got a lot of things, you know, going in your favor in the event of bad stuff happening, either personally or as a nation.
Absolutely.
That
and
makes sense.
Prepping is, you know, we don't feel as a waste of time. It's actually fun. We're entertained with it, and we have fun with it. And I have
it.
The insurance of knowing.
I'm glad Absolutely. You enjoy it. It sounds like hell to me.
The show is called Doomsday Preppers. It's on the National Geographic Channel. It is awesome, by the way. You can see a new episode starting this Tuesday night, November 13th at 9 o'clock, and you'll see Mr. Braxton Southwick on your TV. Thanks for coming on, man. We enjoyed talking to you.
Hey, you bet. Thanks, guys.
Ralph, it's your time for the Showbiz Beat. But first, pick up the phone. Give us a call. 1-800-520-1067. If you desperately want to attend our Breakfast with Mumford & Sons, we've got a way you can earn them. We're playing a brand new game, debuting a new game, guys, right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. What's going on, Ralph Garman?
Oh, I know usually we reserve our DVD releases for Tuesdays, but today you may want to pick up the Amazing Spider-Man released today on DVD, starring Andrew Garfield and my beloved Emma Stone. You can check that out if you missed it in theaters. Real good movie, by the way. It kind of got lost in a summer full of blockbusters and comic book movies and stuff. And it made a ton of money, but it didn't get quite the attention of the Avengers or some of the other films. But really, really good reboot for the Spider-Man franchise. Looking forward to the next one. I told you, Jamie Foxx probably going to be Electro.
Yeah.
You have to tell us about Electro, man.
Right. Because what happened to him?
He got bitten by a radioactive
lightning bug?
Spider?
No. Incorrect, sir. No. While we're talking movies, good news and bad news for Expendables fans. Sylvester Stallone told Deadline.com that there will be a third installment of the series, but the rumors that Nicolas Cage is joining the cast are just untrue.
That's good news.
This is such bullshit.
That's bad news.
No, that's good news.
Are you high?
Come on.
Nick Cage at Expendables would be awesome.
Nick Cage is a big red flag for me now.
Are you out of your tree?
No, he's been terrible.
He's spectacular.
Are you out of your tree?
No. In a big, cheesy, over-the-top, overblown,
well, that's all he could do.
Action movie? You don't want to see Nicolas Cage in The Expendables?
No, I do not,
that's,
sir.
That's ridiculous.
I will duel you right now.
In a movie that can support Jean-Claude Van Damme and Chuck Norris and Schwarzenegger and Stallone, Nick Cage is a perfect match for that tone of that film.
All right, take it easy.
No, you take it easy. It will kill you. Maybe you'll donate a kidney this weekend when I rip it out of your abdomen.
This escalated quickly.
Sly says he'd like to get Harrison Ford and Wesley Snipes in the Expendables 3 movie.
I'm not sure Harrison Ford needs to be there either.
No, on that we may agree.
I'm not sure Wesley Snipes is available.
Yeah.
We should go rescue that guy.
Really, Harry? Let's just leave him in the minivan before we go out on assignment.
Another Superstorm Sandy benefit. This one set for December the 12th at the newly refurbished Madison Square Garden in New York City. They're calling it 12-12-12. Bean just expressed himself in his pants. No lineup has been announced yet. See, 12-12-12 is December 12th. The 12th.
2012. Right.
No lineup announced yet, but strong rumors suggesting Bruce Springsteen. You can't throw you can't keep him away from a benefit.
That's true.
Actually. John Bon Jovi, of course. And Sir Paul McCartney.
Mm.
How about that for a lineup? I think some people would go to see those guys play music.
And again,
Billy Joel also in the mix.
If folks are wondering why so many benefits for Sandy victims, $50 billion damage.
Yeah. Yeah. Kanye West, Kim Kardashian, still head over heels in love, America's favorite couple. People talking because Kim was spotted in Miami this weekend wearing gold KW rings on her right ring finger. KW, whose initials do those stand for?
Probably just Kanye.
Oh, that's true.
I was thinking Cal Worthington.
No. I think.
Wow.
I think Cal's with a C, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, what a reference.
KW rings on her right finger. Did Kanye West put a ring on it? No. Apparently, Kim had them made herself.
Really?
And put the rings on her hand. Yeah. It wasn't even like he gave her rings with his initials on it. She went out and had initial rings made of his initials herself and
That's
then
awesome.
Put them on her hand. She is so desperate.
Wow.
Madness. Madness.
You want to call me unhinged? I am. You'd be right. I am totally f***ing unhinged right now.
All right, where's SEAL Team 6? We really got to take her out. She concerns me. She concerns me. And, sad news. Frank Pepiot died this week.
Oh, you've got to be kidding. Frank?
Yeah, Frank Pepiot.
Who's that?
He was the co-creator, writer, and producer of Hee Haw. To which I say, good riddance to that bastard. 85 years old. He was the one who made stupid country people seem all cute and entertaining.
Well, they're excellent.
Not. They're not. You know what they do? They get on the internet. And they say, I'm unhinged. They're not all fun in the cornfield picking banjos and telling one-liners with junior samples. They're scary people.
Hey, guys.
Yes.
What? What did I have? What happened now?
You don't think Mumford & Sons is going to cancel now, do you?
That Hee Haw producer and creator is dead? Are they in a period of mourning?
Well, no one's going to feel like going out there and picking and grinning after the Hee Haw guy's dead. Maybe the funeral is the same day
Howdy!
As our breakfast. It's Mumford now.
Hee-haw. What's happening right now?
Hee-haw's happening.
Yeah. Not anymore.
Kevin, do you remember Hee-haw? You know the show?
Not a bit.
Any memory
about?
Of Hee-haw?
Not a bit, no.
Really?
What is Hee-haw? Is it PBS?
Oh, for God's sakes.
I don't know what it is.
It was on for like 20 years on CBS. And it's a country music show where like Buck Owens comes out and sings and then they tell a whole bunch of corny jokes.
Wow, it is shocking. I don't remember that.
They would stand in a cornfield and like play banjo and tell jokes like, oh, Bobby Joe was so upset when he caught his sister with the salesman. That kind of stuff.
When you
people wearing the overalls and literally with hayseeds in their mouth.
What about me makes you think I would ever watch that
Well,
crap?
Again, it was on for 20
so
years.
So what?
It's kind of hard
someone
to
in your family, maybe your parents turned it on?
No.
Or if you were ever looking at television, you might come across it.
No.
And all the sketches.
Why is it so ridiculous for us to think you might have seen a show that was on television for 20 years?
The way you described it's the worst television show that's ever existed.
We didn't say you sought it out.
Well, so I'm not going to watch it.
But everybody.
Why are you yelling at me?
Why are you insane?
Oh, yeah.
No, next week's going to be fun. Tune in for the Ralph
and Kevin
show.
I didn't watch it, so what?
I don't care that you didn't watch it, but you have to have at least heard of it. You should know what it is.
Was it on PBS?
I think Kevin may have been on Hee Haw and not known it. Today's celebrity birthdays, Nikki Blonsky of Hairspray is 24. The Lacheys, Nick and Vanessa Manillo Lachey, both celebrating birthdays today. Cisco is 34 years old. Has he got the...
Let me see that
Best song ever. Great Grey's Anatomy, Eric Dane is 40 years old. Peppa of Salt and Peppa is 48. And I don't care that we're late. I need to hear Lou Ferrigno. Birthday boy Lou Ferrigno, 61 years old. I need to hear the interview of Beer Mug getting the most recent interview with a legendary bodybuilder and Incredible Hulk star Lou Ferrigno.
At the Grammy Roundtable with none other than Mr. Lou Ferrigno, the Incredible Hulk himself. How you doing, Lou?
Good. Good afternoon.
How has life been for you up to today?
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. There it is.
All right, well, sit back. It's a long story.
That's the most open-ended question that's ever been asked.
How has life been for you up until today?
I'd like a 60-year recap, please.
He wants Ken Burns to make a mini-series about Lou's life. You're magic. Don't ever change. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
All right, this is all we care about. I got to be honest. On certain days, only certain things matter.
I hope Kat Corbett's just going to come in and take over around 7:30 because we're done for the weekend after this.
Hang on, Omar.
Okay. Here's the deal. Breakfast with Mumford & Sons is happening. You can hear it here live on the Kevin and Bean Show at 7 o'clock Tuesday morning. If you want to be there in person, we want you to be there. And that's why we're giving you this opportunity to win them. This is our final pair of tickets giveaway, right?
That's right.
This is it. This is the end. And you also get to see him at Hollywood Bowl, too. Now, you know we've been playing the game for years called Lick Lisa. And that's...
Hang on, Omar.
Oh, my God.
And Lick Lisa is the game where we ask a question. The answer is a number. Lisa gives her best guess is what it is. And then the caller just says whether the number is higher or lower. Well, we have a variation of that game that I think everyone will enjoy today. I mean, everyone will really enjoy today. Please welcome to the premiere edition of Beat Beer Mug.
It's time to be Beer Mug. It's time to be Beer Mug. It's time to be Beer Mug. Let's beat him to death.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
What was that?
If we beat Beer Mug to death, Scott could have his kidney and then I don't have to
That's
do it.
That's true. You're off the hook.
I thought we were playing Lick Lisa.
No, Lick Lisa is boring to us. Now, we want to beat Beer Mug. Here's how the game is going to play. We think Lick Lisa's a little too easy because we give the listener, she's right on or it's higher or mm-hmm. lower. Mm-hmm. We're just going to go with a yes or a no on this one. Just yes or no. Is he right or not?
Oh.
We're going to ask a question. Beer Mug will give an answer.
Wait.
Is the answer right or is it not
so,
right?
Wait. I have to get it exactly right?
Yeah.
I've done that one.
Exactly right.
Wow.
And then if you don't get it right, they go into the drawing and you get beat. Now, what do we have? We have Dave, we have Chip, we have Omar, we have everybody. What are you guys hitting him with? Rolled up newspapers.
And I got one for you.
One for me, too.
I haven't even answered yet.
All right.
Calm down.
By the way, newspapers seem weak sauce.
Not the way Omar uses them.
Okay.
I think he's got a tire iron in his.
Let's go to Tiffany first. She'll be our first contestant for our new game, Beat Beer Mug. Hi, Tiff. Welcome to the show. How are you today, my dear?
Good. Thank you.
All right, you're playing for Mumford & Sons tickets again. Kevin is going to ask a question. The answer is going to be a number. Beer Mug will give the answer. Then you just have to say whether you think he is right or wrong, okay?
Okay. All right, question number one. Mumford & Sons are from England. Beer Mug, how many people live in England?
Are you serious? Are you kidding me?
How many people live in England?
Exactly.
Yes. How's that not clear?
And, of course, there's a new one born every minute, so you better be really good.
I'm going to go... 7 million people.
All right. Let me check.
Hold on. We got to go to Tiffany first.
Tiffany, you say he's not right?
You say he's wrong.
Okay. That's correct. It's 53 million.
What?
13,000.
Wait, so
beat Beer Mug.
What?
Yeah. All right.
You're in the drawing, Tiffany. I'm covering my junk, by the way.
Congratulations. Beer Mug, how could you get that wrong? What's wrong
with
you,
dude? Okay, that's ridiculous. No one would be able to get that.
No, but everyone would have gotten closer.
Yeah,
everyone.
Right.
He said seven. It was 53 million.
England's not even big enough to hold that many people.
There's like 20 million people just in London, by the way.
That's correct.
England's not even big enough, Bean.
Let's go to Evelyn. She's online, too. She's our next contestant for Beat Beer Mug.
Hi, Evelyn.
Hi.
So you're just going to have to say he's right or he's wrong, okay?
Okay.
Beer Mug answers this question. The band's debut album, Sigh No More, peaked on the music charts at number 2 on what date exactly?
Oh, my.
On what date exactly did it peak at number 2?
Oh. Could you repeat the question?
No. I cannot repeat the question. The band's debut. I will. The band's debut album, Sigh No More, peaked on the music charts at number 2 on what date?
I'm going to go... Omar's cocking back already. Let's go.
Hey, watch the language, dude.
Sorry. March
17th.
Evelyn, right or wrong?
He hasn't even given a year
doesn't
yet.
Matter.
Come on.
It doesn't matter. It's February 20th, 2011. Oh. Beat Beer Mug.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh. Hey. Right, Dave.
You're in the drawing, Evelyn.
Oh.
Dave went low, I can tell.
This sucks.
By the way, maybe you should give better answers. Let's go to Megan. Megan is on line three here on the Kevin and Bean Show for Mumford & Sons tickets for the breakfast and to the Hollywood Bowl Show. Hi, Megan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Very good.
Thank you.
It's going great for everyone but Beer Mug.
Oh. All right, here's your question. And again, you just have to say if Beer Mug is right or wrong. The Mumford & Sons hit song Little Lion Man. Beer Mug, the question is, how many words are used in that song?
Are you kidding me?
I counted them yesterday.
Oh,
painstakingly.
No, these questions are
just
impossible.
Wrong. Answer the question.
I haven't even answered.
She's right, though, but go ahead, answer.
Now, hold on, Kevin. Are these total words in the
total
song
words.
Or a number of different words
nope,
in the
total
song?
Nope, total words,
okay, total
including
words.
Repeats. Thank you for the clarification, Bean. That's very important.
I'm trying to help out Beer Mug.
Little Lion Man.
How many words?
Little Lion Man.
That's three.
Oh, man. I... 120.
120. She says wrong. She's correct.
Oh.
Beat Beer Mug. She's in the drawing. It's 192.
Oh, this is a dick. Oh,
nicely
that's
done.
The back of the head, Dave.
All right. Do we have time for one more contestant? Can we squeeze in Kyle, please, on line four?
All right. Kyle, hi.
Good morning, guys. Morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Beer Mug, you suck at this game.
Yeah, HR is going to be hearing about this.
Much of Mumford & Sons' lyrical content has a strong literary influence, its debut album name deriving from Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing. The earliest recording performance of that was given at the court during the festivities preceding the marriage of Princess Elizabeth with Frederick V. On what date? Beer Mug, on what date?
Could you just repeat the question?
No, that's way too complex.
So it's in the time of Shakespeare, though, right?
Yeah, Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing.
Okay, and Frederick V.
Right.
Well, when did they get married?
Since the last month, the last answer was February. I'll go February 14th, I don't know, Shakespeare. It's 1613. I don't know.
Kyle?
He got it wrong, and please fire him.
He actually got it right. It
was February. February 14, 1613. All right, hold on a second. What happened? Why is Beer Mug looking at the answers? How did this happen?
I majored in Shakespearean philosophy.
I gave him the answer. All right. Just because I felt bad for him. But we're going to put Kyle in the drawing as well.
Drawing. Right. Thank you, guys.
You're in the drawing. Mug,
right? Yeah,
be
no!
The pure actor.
No!
Because he cheated.
No!
And that's not cool.
All right, is it Tiffany, Evelyn, Megan, or Kyle? Only one can win. Breakfast with Mumford & Sons and tickets to see him at the Bowl. Who's it going to be?
It's Evelyn.
Evelyn. Yay! Congratulations, Evelyn.
Thank you so much. Oh, my God, I love you guys.
Breakfast
you.
With Mumford & Sons.
No!
That was Beat Beer Mug. We found something he's actually good for. But now we can't fire him because we really want to beat him again.
We got a whole lot of shows still to come here on the World Famous K-Rock, including actor Jeremy Piven just after 8 o'clock. Cousin Sal previews the NFL weekend for us and a brand new internet roundup. So I had something really remarkable happen to me this week, you guys. I had to do some traveling. I was down at the hospital. You know, I'm having the kidney surgery on Tuesday. So I was down at Cedars-Sinai all day on Tuesday getting some last-minute testing and paperwork and everything like that. So I flew home Tuesday night to Seattle.
Right.
I left my iPad on the plane.
Oh, God.
Oh, that sucks.
Left my iPad on the plane. So say goodbye to Bean's iPad, right?
Of course.
That's what I would have expected, too. I got an email a couple of hours after I landed from somebody sitting in my seat on the plane who says, hey, your iPad is here. What do you want me to do with it?
How did they know your email?
They opened up my iPad. I don't have it set up so that you have to put a code in, you know?
Oh, you don't have the safety code.
Yeah, so they just opened up my email, I guess, and A, saw a lot of porn, but B, I guess they just got my email address off of that. So they emailed me, and it just blew my mind. I couldn't even believe it. And I thought, well, this is somebody who's not going to steal my iPad, because why would they write to me from their own email address, giving that information
that?
Up, to ask me what I wanted to do?
I would have thought just I need to buy a new one or whatever, because there's no possible – there's a 0% chance.
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing I thought is once I realized it was gone, now I've got to call the airline and say, I left my iPad on the plane. Is there any way that somebody picked it up? And if so, is it going to be lost and found at the airport? And I just thought –
But you know ahead of time that you're going to have to go through all that and then nothing will happen probably.
Yeah, I didn't expect to ever see it again.
Right.
But Wednesday, I drove to a Starbucks and met the very nice lady who had my iPad. She gave me my iPad back, and boom, got it.
What? I mean, that is so cool.
I just I was really, really surprised. Although
I would have thought, hey, new iPad. You know, if I'm sitting in that chair.
Although we want to do a phone topic that I don't think we've ever done before, which is you lost something or left something valuable behind that you got back, something that you never thought you'd see again. You drove away and left something in the on the sidewalk, or you got up and walked out of a restaurant or a store and left something behind, you know, something valuable behind. You never thought you'd see it again, and miraculously, it came back to you. Because I think there are some stories like that of human kindness. You just don't hear about them very much.
I lost my wallet. I left my wallet at a McDonald's one time.
Really?
Yeah, and went home, and I had no idea I left it there.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And somehow they called, and I don't remember how they got my phone number, but they called, and they were like, hey, you left your wallet here. And it was just a person. It wasn't McDonald's.
Oh,
same,
wow.
Same thing.
Was the money still in it?
I didn't have any money in it.
But, okay.
But the credit cards still were.
Because most wallet stories are, no, this is how I found it.
Right.
Oh, you had cash in it before? Well, I don't know anything about that.
And by the way, you're usually just grateful. Okay, fine. I'll give up the cash as long as I can have everything else back.
Absolutely. To not have to go through and renew all your credit cards to get a new driver's license. Absolutely. You're happy just to get the credit card back. Listen to this, by the way. And again, we're going to take
the
your phone
calls. The weed was gone. That upset me.
At 1-800-520-1067. Something came back to you, something valuable that you can't believe was returned to you. Here's the most unbelievable story I think I've ever heard. And this is from Las Vegas, and it just happened in October. Okay, so just last month.
The fact that it's Las Vegas is just adds to the amazing part of the story.
Okay.
An Ethiopian cab driver found in the back of his cab, and I'm sure this happens all the time where stuff gets left behind in a cab. I lost a camera in a cab in Las Vegas once. I'm sure they just almost everybody gets in a cab, it seems like, leaves something behind.
Sure.
This guy was apparently a high-rolling gambler. He left behind, I think it was a laptop case or something like that, but inside his laptop case was over $220,000 in cash.
Whoa.
That's big winnings right there.
$220,000 for a cab driver.
Oh, my God.
Yes. He finds the money in the soft laptop case in the back of his cab, and it would be very easy to say, oh, I don't know what you're talking about, mm-hmm. sir. I never found that in my cab. Don't know what you mean.
No, I'm quitting driving the cab, and it has nothing to do with that money.
He handed in the wad of cash to his employers, Virgin Valley Cabs, about the same time that they were fielding a call from the guy who had taken the cab going, oh, my God, I think I left some money in the back of your car.
$220,000 in Vegas.
Dang. Las Vegas, yes. So the cab driver received, by the way, $220,000. What do you think he gave the cabbie as a tip for returning the money?
Well, I hope at least $500.
I would guess. Look, if you lose $220,000, I'd give him $10,000 or so. I mean, that's nothing. You still get $210 back.
Yeah.
And you would have had zero if it hadn't
yes.
been for him, right? Tip was $2,000. Cabbie's friend said 1%, a little less than 1% even, kind of the short shrift. But the cabbie says, hey, look, I was just doing the right thing, and it's a bonus. It's $2,000 I didn't have before. You got to drive a cab a long time to make $2,000. So anyway, so there's two stories. One that happened to me this week with an iPad on a plane. One that happened last month in Las Vegas with a whole bunch of cash. We're looking for your stories at 1-800-520-1067. You lost something. We're sure it was gone forever. Miraculously, it came back. We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
This is really amazing, the response that we're getting on the topic of you lost something valuable, were convinced you'd never see it again, and it somehow came back to you. I mean, it almost makes you believe in people, Kevin.
Yeah, you know what I think is the reason for that is because there's so much identity theft and everything else. Mm-hmm. You start to kind of lose hope, and then when somebody returns your iPad, you go, what? This is awesome. Yeah, you just assume the worst of people. Hey, somebody found my iPad? Well, clearly they're going to steal it. Dear Kevin and Bean, Christine writes in, last Christmas I was shopping. I left my purse and the shopping cart in the parking lot of a CVS. I drove to another destination, realized what I did, completely panicked. I tracked down the phone number and called the store. Someone had turned it in to the CVS with all the contents, including the wallet, with the shopping money, the iPhone, the makeup bag. It was all in there. Deanne writes in, last year at a Foo Fighters concert at the Forum, I lost my wallet. The person who found it used my driver's license to track me down on Facebook, messaged me to ask if the address on my ID was current. Then she mailed my wallet back to me with everything in it, including cash and gift cards.
Wow.
Rock fans are the best people on earth, Deanne says.
Unbelievable.
So, it really is. It is amazing. 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to, we got some great calls here. Let's talk to Katie. Katie's got a high dollar amount here on the line. Hi, Katie. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. She's on line two. Welcome
Hi,
to the program.
Guys.
Hi.
Good morning. What did yeah, I was driving to Bakersfield, and I was
strike one.
You're telling me. I was going to pick up a couple horses, so I had $5,000 cash in my wallet, and stopped to get some gas. Put my wallet on the wheel well of my horse trailer and drove away.
Oh,
and
so it fell like in the parking lot there.
Yeah, that's what I could assume, is that it fell in the parking lot. Right. I had no earthly idea, and my cell phone rang, and these young kids, they're like, hey, I think I found your wallet. I have business cards in it, so they called me up, and so I turned around, went back. These guys, they looked like a couple of punks. They were probably 16, if that.
And, amazing. Was there $5,000 still in it?
Every penny was still
unbelievable.
In it, so I gave them $300 and told them thanks. Wow.
You didn't even know it was missing, so you didn't even have that moment of panic where you're turning around trying to go back.
No idea. I had no clue.
That's incredible. Thank you very much for the call. We really appreciate it.
You're lucky 16-year-old me didn't find that.
Carissa, hey, Bean, I lost my passport in Florence, Italy. I had to cancel all my credit cards. My driver's license was still in there. Cash was still in there. I went to the embassy the next day to fill out paperwork, and somebody had returned everything, including the cash. How about that?
Wow.
Jeez.
Let's go to Johnny. Hello, Johnny.
Hello.
Hi. What'd you lose?
Hi. Oh, hey, guys. I lost my wallet last New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm not sure if that's two different things or one, but go ahead.
Yeah. I was in a club with a girl. She got totally plastered. So by the end of the night, she couldn't even stand up on her own two feet. So I had everything of hers in my pocket, her purse, her phone, her freaking lipstick, everything. So while I was trying to get her back to the hotel room, mm-hmm. At that time my wallet fell out, and my wallet had everything. It had $800 cash, my social security card, my IDs, my EMT card, everything.
Wow.
So I was completely freaked. I woke up the next day, realized it was gone. I went to the club, nowhere in sight.
You gave up on it.
I gave up on it. I filed a police report, everything. I canceled my credit cards, everything. A month later, my bank calls me saying someone has found my wallet. They didn't want to mail it to my address because they didn't want to see if I didn't live there anymore. So they gave me the address. I went to their house, and everything was there. My Social Security card, $800. I was so ecstatic. I tried to give them $200, but they wouldn't take it. I had to literally twist their arm to give them $100. Reward.
I like why, you beat him up. Good.
Why did it take a month, though?
Because it was actually someone picked it up and they threw it in their car, and at that time, they completely forgot about it until the daughter went, borrowed the car, and...
How about that?
How about that? Yeah. Well, it wasn't the drunk girl, was it? It was just somebody, some random stranger?
Some random stranger found my wallet and picked it up.
That's fantastic.
That's amazing. Yeah. Thank you. By the way, I'm getting a couple of emails from people wanting to know if I gave a reward to the lady who found my iPad.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he gave her an award. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Tell me what you guys think is fair. What should I have given her for returning my iPad, for contacting me, finding it on the plane, and then we met up?
I don't know. It wasn't cash. I'd say $100.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it costs $800, doesn't it? I mean, if you get the one.
Yeah.
I pulled out a $100 bill and tried to give it to her. She wouldn't take it. She said, no, I don't need anything. And I'm like, seriously, I want you to take it. She's like, why don't you donate it to charity? And I said, why don't you donate it to charity?
Wait.
So
now you're putting
fighting.
It back on her?
It's a brawl at this point.
You gave me back my iPad, and I want you to have to donate it to charity.
Hey, listen, a-hole. You taking the money or die?
My God,
I hate you.
Dean.
I hope you die.
What is wrong with you?
And she was pregnant. She wanted me to switch seats with her, and I wouldn't do it. The Piv joins us coming up after 8 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin Bean Show. Jeremy Piven and Adam McKay from Funny or Die have a new movie out that looks hilarious. We'll talk about that. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Oh, Jeremy Piven, my two-for-the-money co-star? The Jeremy Piven that I shared the screen with in a feature film.
I remember him in that.
The feature film, Two for the Money, the movie that Jeremy and I were both in.
I remember Jeremy Ralph, in Matthew McConaughey, I remember.
Ralph, he doesn't even list that movie on his resume.
He does.
I bet
he's
he doesn't.
Very proud of that movie. Go to IMDb and see if it's on there or not.
If it's not, it's going to be funny.
Oh, can't wait for you to bleed out.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, and not just because the doctor's been cutting Bean open, but because it is... Miss Double December time.
Yes, it is.
Miss Double December 2013. We are currently actively searching for her. Are you she? Is she you? We need you. Enter krock.com. Go to our website.
fill out the application, send in two photos of yourself, preferably three-quarter or full-length photos, maybe one of those, maybe one face shot, or whatever other body part you think is your strongest foot forward. We are crowning her on November the 30th. That's when the pageant will be held at the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen in downtown Fullerton. But let's see, today is Friday. That means there's only a week for That's you right. to enter. Next Friday, we're going to close the entries. And then the following Monday, the 19th, we will be announcing the top 10 finalists. And then you, the Kevin and Bean listeners, will get to vote for Miss Double December 2013.
We have an occasional problem with our website as well, so don't wait till the last minute.
Tell me about it.
Between now and next Friday. Try
I
and get
shot
it.
An entire video as a tribute to James Bond, the 50th anniversary, and the new Skyfall movie that comes out
what
today.
What happened?
You tell me. You tell me what happened.
I was here when you were planning it all. You had all these great ideas.
You were here when I left to shoot it for 8 hours on Wednesday.
You're saying the video didn't get shot or you just can't post it?
It got shot. It got shot. I don't know when it's going to debut. Maybe in the time for the 51st anniversary of the Bond franchise. I was like, they were like, do you need this tomorrow? I said, no. I don't want to put too much pressure on you. Friday will be fine. The movie comes out Friday. Let's post it on the website Friday.
That is classic.
Okay, great. Hello?
What we're saying is the deadline is next Friday.
Hello?
I wouldn't wait till next Friday.
No, I would go well in advance.
Yeah, maybe this weekend.
Yeah. I keep getting emails from Lightning. Hey, did you see where Joe Biden's going to be on Parks and Recreation? I'll write back, yes, I did see that. You know what I haven't seen yet? My freaking James Bond video!
You know, I would never let you down.
Yeah, I know. You know what I don't know? Where my freaking James Bond video is!
Chizek, booyah.
Chizek my ass.
I'd rather not.
All right, while we're talking about movies, Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 2. That is going to be in theaters everywhere November the 16th, unless, of course, Lightning's in charge of getting it to theaters, and then who knows when it'll show up.
Was this in the news?
21st, whatever he gets to it.
However, we have tickets to the red carpet world premiere of the Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 2. That's all happening Monday, November the 12th at LA Live downtown. Huge event. They're already lining up for this thing, but you won't have to line up because you'll have tickets if you are caller number 16 right now, 1-800-520-1010. What?
6-7.
6-7, thanks. I got confused looking at the dates here. November the 16th. Yes, that's the date. It's in theaters everywhere, and then on the 12th is when we're having the premiere. So, red carpet premiere. Kay Stu will be there. R-Pats, T-Lot, everybody who has one initial and half a name will be there on the red carpet, and you'll see them all, and you'll get to see the movie. So, if you are a Twilight fan, or Twihard, as they're known, you're going to want this. 1-800-520-1067. Call now. While we're talking about movies, while we're talking about Skyfall and James Bond, don't bother looking for the video of me as James Bond in the Aston Martin, by the way. Just want to throw that out there. The Skyfall yacht. There's a yacht in this movie that our lovely and now new best friend, Berenice Marlowe.
Yes.
She plays Severin in the movie, the James Bond girl in the film. And she is traveling to visit her boyfriend, who is the evil enemy, Silva, played by Javier Bardem in this film. And she's taking this yacht to his island where he is.
Right.
And James Bond stows away upon this yacht.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes to take a shower.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. Anyway, the yacht
Can
itself,
you say it again?
The Regina is now for sale. You can own a piece of James Bond folklore. You can have an actual prop from the movie Skyfall. It is a 56-meter super steel schooner. It can comfortably accommodate 12 guests. It's got 7 staff.
Can I have Berenice Merlot instead?
She will be waiting for you in the shower.
Okay,
that's
good.
What I understand. You can pick this up. If you're a Bond fan, you're going to want to own this. So I just want to let you know. Let me see what they're running, what the price is. $14.2 million. So if you got $14.2 million and you'd like to pick yourself up a little boat to cruise around Catalina with on the weekends to have yourself a little fun, it's available now.
$14.2 million for a boat.
That's all. Hang on, wait a minute. Let's think about this. We got to have 14.2 million listeners, right? If everyone sends me a dollar.
Wait. First of all, we don't. Second of all, we don't.
Yeah, we don't. No. Never got my Aston Martin with that ploy either. Mm. But what do I know?
Too bad.
CBS has announced a new sitcom set in a country club. Finally, people in America can laugh about a situation they're familiar with in this economy is the wacky hijinks going on in country clubs. The premise is a bad boy golf pro and a bunch of out-of-control employees are forced to change their ways when the owner brings in a no-nonsense woman to run the place. What'll happen to the old boys' network then, fellas, huh? Huh? Are you with me?
Wacky Hijinks, I bet.
You know, I loved this sitcom when it was called Cheers, about a bar instead of a country club.
No.
The club is already underway, so you can look forward to that on CBS coming soon. TV fans will be happy to know that Burn Notice, starring Jeffrey Donovan, has been renewed for a 7th season by USA Network.
Came back last night, I think.
It did.
I like that show.
Very entertaining program. I think you will enjoy that if you check it out. And Tina and Joe Simpson aren't the only members of the Simpson family. Apparently are cross odds. Of course, they filed for divorce. Rumors about Joe playing for the other team surrounded this story. But it looks like Ashley and Jessica Simpson are also fighting with each other.
All right. Let's make it the whole family.
Jessica is reportedly devastated and feels horrible that her mom has to hear the rumors about her dad's alleged sexuality. Ashley, however, according to sources, thinks Tina didn't pay enough attention to dear old dad during their marriage. And so that's why he left. So the two kids are at each other's throats. So even though this is a tragic story, because divorce is never a good thing, the silver lining to this dark cloud is the Simpson girls hate each other. So that so there's always something positive. I always try to teach that lesson, kids, that even in the most negative situations, there's something positive you can take out of it.
Mom and dad and kids are all fighting.
Yeah, I don't care about the mom and dad, but the kids are angry, and I like that.
All right.
Ashley and Jessica slapping at each other. Ashley slapping her big belly, making her move around with a bowl full of jelly. Today's celebrity birthdays. Nikki Blonsky of Hairspray is 24 years old. The Lacheys, Nick and Vanessa Manillo Lachey, celebrate a birthday together today. He is 39. She's 32. Eric Dane from Grey's Anatomy is 40. Peppa of Salt Peppa is 48. And Lou Ferrigno, legendary actor who played the Incredible Hulk on television to much success.
Celebrity Apprentice, too.
That's right. Real likable guy, super talented, still at 61 years old, still in amazing shape, still hits the weights on a regular basis. I was so happy when Beer Mug got a chance to catch up with Lou Ferrigno and get this hard-hitting, in-depth interview.
At the Grammy Roundtable with none other than Mr. Lou Ferrigno, the Incredible Hulk himself. How you doing, Lou?
Good. Good afternoon.
How has life been for you up to today?
Come on. How has life been for you up till today?
I'd like a 60-day recap, please.
Some days good, some days bad.
I guess Which days are good?
Like anybody. Well, you know, there was a Friday in 1985 that was not so good for me.
Good question.
Not a good question.
Worst question ever.
Of all the things it is, not a good question.
Worst question ever.
I wish we had beat Beer Mug the game when Lou Ferrigno was around.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Tony Hawk on the program later on today, one of our all-time favorites here at K-Rock. Also, we've got a brand new In and Around up for you, and Cousin Sal is going to preview the NFL weekend. Speaking of the NFL, Jeremy Piven is on the line, who, as a Bears fan, is having the time of his life this season. Hi, Jeremy. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend.
Thank you. Good morning, you guys. Yes, they are 7-1, I believe.
Who saw this coming?
I did. I think we all did.
Oh, seriously. what's that like for you? I mean, the Bears are one of those teams that every once in a while they catch fire and everything goes right for them. But you have a lot of awfully down seasons and frustrating seasons, too. I mean, are you just enjoying every minute of it this year?
Yeah. I mean, listen, they needed their offensive line to step up, and they did. And Jay Cutler's got a great arm, and now he's got a couple amazing receivers to throw to. Urlacher has been holding it down with the defense for, 13 years?
Yes, he has.
Yeah, so they're doing an amazing job. They're going to play San Francisco Monday night.
Tough game.
Yeah, it's going to be a great game.
Tough game, yeah.
Yes.
Hey, and before we talk about why you're on today, the Fully Loaded movie, which I'm dying to get to, I understand you also have been hanging out quite a bit with your good friend David Beckham. Is that true?
When I was in London, I was doing this series that I just finished called Mr. Selfridge that'll be on PBS. And now that we have Obama, we're going to have PBS. We didn't know because we almost didn't have PBS. But it's going to air on Masterpiece Theater.
Were watching the elections with an eye toward, I wonder if my project is ever going to see the light of day in America.
I just wrapped the show and I look up and then there's the debate and literally it was his first, you know, the first thing on his agenda was, let's cut PBS. So it was interesting. I was like, wait a minute, I just finished the show, and now I'm going to be out of work playing the bongos on Santa Monica Pier.
I just want to know what it's like hanging out with a guy like David Beckham, particularly in Britain, because I imagine it would be very difficult for that man to get a moment's peace as popular as he is.
We were watching the Olympics. We actually saw the game that the Americans won the gold medal, and
I was sitting next to him, and it was really, he's just one of these guys where, you know, we grow up not kind of having a huge reference for soccer, or as they call it, football.
Right.
So, and I would see him at Lakers games, and he's just a really sweet guy, and it's fun to hang out with. So, you know, that's just kind of how I know him. And, yeah, he's an icon over there, definitely, and can't go anywhere. Yes.
That seems like that would be a little annoying if you get that famous. That seems like that would be.
Don't get that famous, Jeremy. That's what we're telling you.
Yes, sir. I'm well on my way. Thank you.
All right. Let's talk about the project. And this is fascinating. And I love so much how movies are becoming available on demand and online through iTunes, Amazon.com, Time Warner Cable. I mean, there's so many different ways to get things. Not everything needs to be on the big screen to get a wide audience. And you are involved. I guess you're an executive producer of a movie called Fully Loaded. Some of the geniuses at Funny or Die are involved. Tell us about it, Jeremy.
Yeah, Adam McKay, you know, who he and Will Ferrell started Funny or Die, and he's producing it as well. And my sister, Shira Piven, directed it. And it's going to be available on all those forms on the 13th. And it's just one of those kind of completely unique comedies about a couple of women that are coming to terms with a bunch of things. And it's kind of like, almost like a... for lack of a better reference, it's kind of a little homage to Cassavetes and that kind of stuff and Swingers and whatnot, and it's just a real unique romp, and it'll be available really soon.
How did you get involved with Adam McKay? How did he come into the project?
Well, it's my sister's husband, so I do whatever he says.
I see.
Oh, there's that. Yeah. Now, did she try to get you to be in the movie too?
You know what? She did ask me to be in the movie, and
so you don't do anything she says.
I'm actually going to be performing King Lear with both of her daughters, Pearl, who's 7, and Lily is 12.
Excellent.
And I'll be doing King Lear with them on Sunday for their school. So I beg to differ. I'm down for the cause.
I think Jeremy is stepping up where it needs to be. Again, the movie is called Fully Loaded. No relationship whatsoever to Herbie the Volkswagen. There's nothing like that going on. It's a totally different movie. You're not in it, but Dweezil Zappa makes a cameo. Our friend Dave Koechner is in it, Anna Gasteyer, Danny Putty. I mean, you got some funny people, and of course, Adam McKay. That dude's just a genius.
Yeah, he is. You know, Adam, he wrote, you know, Anchorman,
yep.
Talladega Nights, The Other Guys, all those great movies, and it's just a really, really funny movie has an amazing soundtrack as well, and you guys should definitely check it out, and it's going to air on Stars.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, cool. Yeah, okay,
which
great.
And I don't work for Stars, but I will say that Boss is also, in my opinion, one of the best series on TV.
We don't work for Stars either, and we agree that Boss is one of the best series on TV, no question.
Yes, Kelsey Grammer and all that. And
so good.
You can see Fully Loaded. Nothing to Herbie the Love Bug. You're correct.
Well, so we don't get a chance to talk to you as often as we like, Jeremy. We think of you, though, and I'm happy that you're doing so well. It sounds like you got so much stuff going on. You got a Miley Cyrus movie coming out. I mean, is there nothing this guy won't do?
Apparently not at this point.
All right, Fully Loaded, and the website is fullyloadedthefilm.com. Jeremy, always great to have you on the show, man. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Thanks.
If it's Friday, that must mean Cousin Sal from Grantland.com and the Cousin Sal on Twitter joins us. Hi, Sal. How are you?
What's happening, fellas? You know, I hate to rush you along, but my 7-year-old has a play, and I have to get there because I bet that he would flub over 6.5 lines. So you have to bet against your kids.
You can bet on anything.
That's what I love about you, Sal. Hey, how happy are you guys to be back from the hurricane-ravaged Brooklyn and be back working in L.A. this week, huh?
Yeah, it's nice. I don't want to rub it in too much, but Jesus, it really is nice living here.
Yeah.
And then they get slammed with a nor'easter, like... this Mother Nature, what a whore she turned out to be.
We talked to your cousin Jimmy Kimmel last Friday, and he told us that it cost ABC $4 million for you guys to take Jimmy Kimmel live there for Brooklyn shows last week. How did it work out in the ratings? I never heard whether it paid off or not.
Well, we did very well. I don't know how much of this I'm allowed to divulge, but we had two of our highest rated shows with the Letterman Show and the Colbert and Stewart Show Wednesday and Thursday night.
Oh, that's great.
But something's going on with... It may not count because the people were without power. I don't know. The Nielsen family's really screwing with us.
Oh, great.
But we'll make a big enough deal about it in the press.
Well, it was a great week of shows, man. We really, really enjoyed it. All right, let's turn our attention toward football. Of course, another great Andrew Luck performance last night. Somebody said on Twitter last night that he may even be better than we thought he was. Great performance against the Jaguars last night.
He is very, very solid. He reminds you like of Eli and Peyton put together. Like all of Peyton's like poise and wherewithal within the pocket, and all of Eli's luck with the horseshoe up his ass.
You know, it's funny. Even quarterbacks that go on to be great are not that way in the first year, almost ever.
That's true. Yep. You know, an amazing stat. Peyton and Luck had exactly the same amount of yards going into last night's game. Well, that doesn't happen a lot.
And one has 15 years more and one has 1 year more.
That's right.
All right, let's look ahead toward the games you want to profile for us this week. The New Orleans Saints, who have had a very frustrating season over the Atlanta Falcons, who the King of Mexico will not shut up about because they're 8-0, the only undefeated team still standing. What do you like for this game?
I think we get to shut them up this week. I can't believe it, but I'm picking the upset here. I hate this pick, but I love it at the same time. Like you said, the undefeated Falcons have like a 4-game lead in their division, and they're playing like it. They're sort of loafed around lately. They barely beat my crappy Cowboys and just as crappy Raiders a couple of weeks back. And on the other hand, the Saints are going to set an NFL record for yards allowed in the season. I feel weird betting this, but betting on the Saints defense is about as smart as giving up a kidney to the guy who installed your ISDN line.
Not very inside, actually.
No, I know. But listen, the Saints are getting it together. They lit up the Eagles last week. I think they play with some pride, and they hand the Falcons their first loss of the season. New Orleans, 30, Atlanta 24.
Look, I don't know whether it's going to be this weekend or not, but the Falcons do not look like the kind of team like the Packers a couple years ago that realistically could go undefeated. At some point, they're not going to be lucky and they're going to lose. And maybe you're right. Maybe this is the weekend. All right. Next, we move on to the Jets coming into my town playing against the Seahawks. What do you think?
Absolutely. Ben, Seattle's on a roll. Your quarterback, Russell Wilson, has 9 touchdowns and 0 interceptions at CenturyLink Field. That's apparently where the Seahawks play their home games. But this is a this is a tough spot for the Jets. Many of the players are licking their wounds from the Sandy and followed by a nor'easter, and now they have to travel all the way across country to play, I think, the toughest defense on their schedule so far. I don't see them getting up for this. I think Tebow can sing his church hymns as loud as he wants. It's not going to be heard over that Seattle crowd. 20-10, Seahawks over the Jets.
It is very, very difficult to beat Seattle at home, that's for sure. Now we move on to the Texans over the Bears. We had your friend Andrew Siciliano on with us last week, and he said this could be a preview of the Super Bowl. What do you think?
I agree. I think you'll be watching these two teams play again in February.
Really?
All you have to do is TiVo this game and then play it back, like on Valentine's Day, to get your old lady text up. Now, they're very similar teams. They both rank in the top 3 or 4 in almost every defensive category. My gut feeling is the Texans break out this week. We're so due for a Cutler collapse, too, by the Bears, and I think it happens this Sunday night. Houston already got embarrassed by the Packers in a primetime game. I don't think it happens again. 17-9, I take the Texans over the Bears.
This is definitely the marquee matchup. I mean, this is the game everybody's going to want to watch this weekend, right?
Absolutely. You got the defenses that scored more touchdowns than some offenses. So.
And that game is in the evening. It's at 5:30, right?
Yeah, Sunday night.
There you go.
All right, Saints take the 2.5 plus over the Falcons. Seahawks -6 over the Jets. Texans up 1.5 over the Bears. That says Cousin Sal. You can read much, much more about his picks for the NFL weekend and a lot of other nonsense at grantland.com. Follow him on Twitter at @TheCousinSal, and you should. And, of course, watch him with his cousin Jimmy Kimmel, Midnight ABC. Sal, have a great weekend, man. Thanks for coming on.
Take care. You too, fellas.
It is late enough in the show now today that I think maybe some of the hot girls are up. So let's try this again. Go to krock.com right now, ladies. If you are 21 or over and would like to be considered to be Miss Double December 2013.
These big cans are one-third larger.
We are looking for you to complete your submission and send in 2 recent photos of yourself, please. Miss Double December crowning is going to be on Friday, November 30th at the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen in downtown Fullerton, where we have been for the past few years. It is a super fun show, and you'll be hearing more about that as we get close to the broadcast. But basically, we're looking for you to represent the Kevin and Bean Show at our live event. So you come to Acoustic Christmas this year, both nights. You go to the Weenie Roast next summer. You come to our April Foolishness show in April, you go to the Kevin Bean singles parties, you go to the All of the Breakfast, so you basically become a member of the family, and it's, you
it's
know,
an ancestral family, though, if I could say that.
Yes, it certainly is.
Is that the right word?
And all the details are available for you at Kerrek.com. You just fill out a little application and send it in. And we have, I have to tell you, considering how easy it would be for us to pick wrong just because we're, you know, not thinking with the right head, we've really made some great friends through this Miss Double D.
Stop it. Our listeners voted good people.
Right. But I'm saying.
Yes, we have. We've had some cool girls.
We've had some great girls. Agreed. I mean, I think Joanna, you know, current Miss Double December is somebody that we love, that somebody we're probably going to stay in touch with, just like we do with Christine, just like we do with, you know, a bunch of the other ones from the past. So if you want to join the family, go to KROQ.com. Miss Double D 2013 application deadline is next Friday.
Time for a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
We put these all up in one place. At KevinandBean.com, you can see all of the videos, including one that we don't have audio for, from Berenice Marlowe, who's the new Bond girl, and she does a behind-the-scenes video for her FHM shoot. And you should see that. Now, things that we do have audio for. Jimmy Kimmel does YouTube challenges. He tells parents to do stuff to their kids. They videotape it. They put it on YouTube. In this particular case, he had parents tell their kids the morning after Halloween that the parents ate all of their kids' candy.
I eat all of your candy. Mommy was...
Jimmy Kimmel told me to do it.
Who's Jimmy Kimmel?
Can you say hi to Larry Kimmel?
Larry.
Can you say hi, Larry Kimmel?
No! I never want to go out trick-or-treating again!
It's awesome.
It's literally parents torturing their kids.
But let me ask you this, Kevin. As hilarious as these videos are, and even though there's no real harm done, would you ever do that to your little, like, four-year-old?
Probably... I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I doubt it. Just because even though it's temporary, and even though there's no harm done and it's so funny, I just don't ever want to see my kid be that sad.
You know how people sing songs, the musical parts and everything with their voices? Mm-hmm. It's all vocal. This is the James Bond theme vocal cover. Pretty impressive, but then I started thinking, how is that useful?
Unless, well, I don't know.
Unless you have YouTube, what do you do with that?
Well, I mean, there are some people who just enjoy a cappella music, and I think that's the word you were looking for, Kevin.
Thank you.
I think people just like it. People think it's cool that somebody can do that. You have to be incredibly musical in order to be able to make those sounds and have them be in key and sound so good. I just think it's impressive. I don't listen to a lot of that kind of music, but that's a pretty cool version of that theme.
We like honest trailers. This is for The Amazing Spider-Man.
Peter Parker was just an attractive, intelligent, likable, athletic, well-dressed teenage loser. But when he easily walks into a high-security lab, one radioactive spider bite will give Peter the ability to twitch like a crackhead, break everything, get every father figure in his life murdered.
Sounds about right. And it goes on and on. This is Obama Gangnam Style, and it's by a guy who looks very much like Obama and a woman who looks very much like his wife.
Obama Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style.
That is a very well done video as well. Go to KevinandBean.com if you'd like to see the internet roundup. This is the election special, Barack Obama singing Can't Touch This. This is a guy or girl, I don't know who it is, who takes actual words from Obama's speeches, word by word, pieces together a song. And in this particular case, it's You Can't Touch This.
Music hits me so hard, makes me say, oh my Lord, thank you for blessing me with a mind to run and to make feels good. When you know you're down, a super dope homeboy from the town, and I'm known as such, and this is a beat up you can't touch. I told you, homeboy, can't touch this.
It is impressive.
That's great.
It sure is. It's incredible. Again, why would somebody do that?
I don't know, but I love that they do. You know how you can see video, but the mouth of the person has been replaced and they can say anything they want to say? This is Romney giving his concession speech. So he's up there and he's saying, you know, I lost. Thanks to everybody that put in all the hard work on the cause. Congratulations to Mr. Obama. Well, they replaced his mouth with a different mouth, and it is singing a song, and the song is fantastic.
You may think I'm overcome with torment and depression, symptoms common to the loser of a big election, but not me. You see, I've got a secret weapon that keeps me happy and gay.
Remember, it's actual.
I'm still rich. Filthy rich. As far as I'm concerned, this election thing went off without a hitch. Now I'll have the best tax write-offs I could ever get. Well, he has nothing but getting blamed for the U.S. going to H.E. double hockey sticks. Oh, life's a bitch.
He's saying that it's actually just a tax write-off so that he can continue to be rich. And he wanted to lose. That's what was supposed to happen.
Wait, except it ain't for me because I'm still rich. Take it away, boys. Oh, I never really wanted that low-wage president job to taint my career. Besides, who on earth could possibly get by on $400,000 a year? Now that I'm done pretending to have fun, spending time with the plebeians, my speaking fee will multiply by three, so if you ask me, we won. Life's a flippin' bitch. Wait, except it ain't for me, cause I'm still horse-riding, company-acquiring, income-hiding, employee-firing, luxury yacht-buying, rich!
Look, it's great being rich, and Mr. Romney's going to be fine, but it's not being president. You
no,
know?
It isn't.
It's not being president.
But this is super well done. It's Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup at KevinandBean.com.
Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. All we're talking about around here is soccer fever, right?
Oh,
who's with
yeah.
me?
It,
you know what?
LA Galaxy.
There's a, you know, in soccer, they have a series where you play in the playoffs.
Right.
And it's two games.
Right.
And then one team won another one of the games, and then the other team won the other game.
Right.
So it's a tie. No, it's not a tie. You want more goals, so you just go.
That's
how
it works.
You get
yeah.
to move on.
That's how it works.
You know why? Because even soccer can't bear to watch one more soccer game between those two teams to break a tie. It's like, how do we just, they both won one. Crap. Let's just, whoever scored the most goals, let them go. Can we just be done with this, please?
Ralph loves it.
That's what soccer, that's what the people in soccer say.
The LA Galaxy are in the Western Conference Championship is what Ralph means
can
to
we
say.
Just move it along?
They begin Sunday night against Seattle.
Can we have the minimum number of games possible to move this along?
They begin Sunday night against Seattle, November 11th at 6 p.m. at Home Depot. The first five callers, 1-800-520-1067. If you want to join me, I'll be there. I'm not sure Ralph will be there.
Let's give it to the tallest team.
But I will be there.
Let's measure everyone. Whoever's tallest, if they both win a game, they can just move on.
I know it's exciting.
Just move on, people.
Admit that it's exciting.
Oh, the best.
First
and this is the Pinwheels. They're playing the Seattle Pinwheels.
Oh,
is coming to town,
go
right?
Pinwheels.
Seattle Sounders, I believe.
Oh, that's right. That's
team.
What it is.
Team.
All right. Call now for your soccer tickets. It's the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday, 8:54. Rob's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
My buddy Robert Sean Leonard from House is in the news. I say buddy because I was in House.
Yeah. Yes.
And we shared many a delightful hour together.
Sure.
filming that scene. He is going to be on stage in San Diego at the Old Globe Theater playing Professor Henry Higgins in Pygmalion, which, of course, George Bernard Shaw wrote. That was the basis for My Fair Lady, the legendary musical. And it's a great role, and he'll be great in it. It's the 100th anniversary production of that play. So go see him.
I don't know who any of those people are.
It's wonderful. You'll love it. Kanye West apparently gave Kim Kardashian gold rings with KW on them for her right ring finger. Is this an engagement? Actually, no, because Kim had the rings made for herself, apparently.
That's sort of sad.
He loves me so much. I'm sure if he thought about me at all, he'd probably make me these rings. So I'm just going to make them for myself and put them on. See, we're in love, is her mentality. That's so tragic. Remember she was wearing the earrings with his initials around and everything? It's like... Okay, we understand. You're dating Kanye West.
You're with him. Take it easy.
It. Congratulations. Christina Aguilera, by the way, give her a couple cocktails and she's good to go.
All right.
Bystanders at a Beverly Hills party say Christina was overserved the other night and got down and dirty with Vanessa Hudgens of High School Musical fame.
Okay, all right. All right.
The more Christina drank... The folks there say the freakier she became and then later begged Vanessa Hudgens to come home with her and her boyfriend.
Go on. Tell it.
Unfortunately, Vanessa wasn't interested and politely declined the offer.
Come on.
Yeah.
Buzzkill.
Disappointing ending of that story.
I don't know. Have you seen Christina going?
Well, yeah, but. Yeah,
V. Hudge was probably, you know, like, I could probably do better for a threesome in, with almost any couple
in
this
that
party.
Bar.
Yeah. So I'm going to pass.
PETA has stepped up, and they are concerned with the well-being of Nugget, Honey Boo Boo's pet chicken.
Oh, what could they be afraid of there?
They sent her a personal note, which was released by E! News, saying, please don't eat your pet. Hey, listen, PETA. The Honey Boo Boo family has named the chicken Nugget.
Yeah.
What do you think the plans for the chicken are? They've named it Nugget. First name, Mick. Chicken Mick Nugget.
Yeah.
Pete also said
that.
You
can't say, you have to say BS.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh.
What? But wait
a
minute.
This is after PETA told us that fish read tell time, by the way.
But wait, let me back up.
What Disney cartoon world are they living in where their chickens do math and their fish tell time?
But let's say...
Is Winnie the Pooh walking around getting honey out of the tree, too?
Just for the sake of argument, let's say that chickens do math.
All right.
What difference does that make in whether you eat it or not?
When chickens can put together an English sentence, let me know, and then we'll have them take over for Kevin. That's last.
How dare you?
I don't want to hear anything about chickens until then. Transformers 4, it's going to happen. It is on. Michael Bay announced that it's going to happen, and it will be in theaters June 27th, 2014. So circle your calendars.
Fate rarely calls upon us at a moment of our choosing.
That's so true, Optimus Prime. Mark Wahlberg is going to step in as the star of the franchise. Shia LaBeouf is gone. Wahlberg is the man.
Seems weird.
Wahlberg will actually himself transform into a truck. Have you seen him lately? He's massive.
Yeah.
He's got a bodybuilder movie called Pain and Gain.
Right.
That's directed by Michael Bay. That, as far as I know, has no explosions in it whatsoever.
Well, he'll put him in.
Apparently the two of those guys hit it off on that film, and that's why Michael asked Mark to star in his new Transformers film. So it's going to happen.
Who's the girl?
I don't know.
All I care about is who's the girl. It's always
that's
a hot
good
girl.
Question.
No word on who the girl's right. going to be, but I'm sure.
She hasn't been born yet. You know, they always go for somebody younger and hotter.
They do like young. And Sylvester Stallone told Deadline.com that, yes, there will be a third Expendables, but that there's no truth, at least not yet, to the rumors that Nicolas Cage is joining the cast, which I think is a huge missed opportunity. I see. Oh, let's go save that guy. What do you say? Him carrying around a bazooka, it'd be awesome. However, Sly says he would like to get Harrison Ford and Wesley Snipes on board for his next film. Did anyone tell Harry that the Wesley Snipes is in prison?
It's a good question.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Not, but maybe that's the mission. Maybe they spend break 3, they break out Wesley Snipes, and it's a documentary this time instead of an action film.
Harrison Ford doesn't seem to me, Ralph, like he's at the point where he's poking fun of being an older action hero yet. He's still kind of playing it straight with the Indiana Jones movies and whatnot, right? Exactly.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to have a big sense of humor about his career. But then, I'm not sure Stallone knows it's a comedy either when I watch him in those films. He seems to be taking it awfully seriously.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays, the Lacheys. Nick and Vanessa Manillo Lachey celebrate their birthdays today. She's 32. He's 39. Sisko, also known as Drew Hill. That's his given name. But we know him better as Sisko, the man who gave us this.
Let me see that song.
Girls like that song because they can lift their skirts and show their thongs. Or that's what I imagine they do in
guys
my head.
Like that song for that reason.
Yeah. We should have that played at the Miss Double December pageant.
I like it.
The thong song. The girls come out in thongs.
Let me see that thong.
You do need that. You do need, ladies and gentlemen, Janessa.
Coming up the stage right now, Tamara. Tamara making her way to the stage, fellas. Got those dollar bills. She doesn't do this for applause. Peppa, Salt and Peppa is 48 years old today. And Lou Ferrigno, the Incredible Hulk, turned 61. We've been playing it all morning. Why stop now? Here is a beer mug, our very own beer mug's in-depth interview with the Incredible Hulk himself, Lou Ferrigno.
At the Grammy Roundtable with none other than Mr. Lou Ferrigno, the Incredible Hulk himself. How you doing, Lou?
Good. Good afternoon.
How has life been for you up to today?
Yep. That was a question he actually asked a person. That got asked.
And how old is he?
He's 61.
61.
So Beer Mug would like a 61-year recap of what his life has been up to up until today.
Well, my grade school years weren't
well,
very interesting.
Well, here's the thing. I remember preschool. There was a lot of finger painting.
God damn it.
I figured
that happened.
I figured I could ask it and sit back for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good thinking there, Beer Mug. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
We've got a minute while we're getting the great Tony Hawk on the phone to talk about the new movie that he's in, the Bones Brigade documentary. Real quick, let me read this email, Kevin. As you know, I've only got a few minutes left in the show before I'm off on medical leave, donating a kidney on Tuesday.
Possibly dead.
Well, let's hope it didn't go that direction. But I want to thank the Kevin and Bean listeners because, of course, it's scary going into any kind of major surgery. You're always afraid that something's going to go wrong. But the great thing about the Kevin and Bean listeners is that they fill my inbox of email with hope. Every single day, at least I know I've got some people pulling for me. Hey, party people, catching up with the podcast, heard the stories about the kidney surgeries gone wrong. I just want to lift Bean's spirits before he goes in. My mom had a tumor on one of her kidneys, and while they went in to remove it, they unknowingly nicked her stomach in three places. The surgeon sewed her back up. We're about to send her home when she crashed. Her blood pressure went down as low as 50 over 35. Her liver shut down. Her heart swelled to twice its normal size. She went into septic shock and was on life support for 4 months. She's healed now. It's nothing short of a miracle. But here's hoping Bean won't be so lucky. Say goodbye to our little friend Bean, Anna, podcast listener in Atlanta. P.S. Please, for the love of God, fire a beer mug. So at least I've got something like that to think about as I head into the operating room, right?
Hey, can I be the guy that pulls the plug?
Hey, I don't know that
do you
that's
have a plug
a job
puller?
That's available. Hey, how dare you?
I'm just saying if it's necessary.
Who's better than our friend Tony Hawk?
Hello?
All people? I mean, no one?
No one. No one in the whole goddamn world. Hi, Tony. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Thank you. Good.
Always a pleasure. You know, we have Stacy in all the time whenever he's got a new movie or a book or anything that's coming out. And, of course, we're talking about the great Stacy Peralta. He has a new film that he has made, a latest in a long series of what's turning into quite a distinguished career as a documentary filmmaker. This one's called Bones Brigade. You were there when it happened, and all these years later, there you are on film talking about it.
Yeah, it's pretty surreal, especially that we're all still here like, in the scene, still skating and old, but
but still skating.
Well.
We watched the movie yesterday, and it's so fascinating to see how it pretty much saved everybody's life who was involved at the time. Like, there's so
yeah,
many
people. It does appear that way, doesn't it?
There's so many people, like, I had nothing else going on, and I couldn't do this, and I was really having a hard time with that, and then I discovered when I get on a skateboard, I live.
Yeah, it's, well, it was weird because we were all, it's from such different walks of life, too. I mean, our team, you know, collectively, I guess made the blueprint for modern skateboarding and making a career out of it, but at the time, we just seemed like this ragtag bunch, and thrown together in Stacy's parents' house to go to these skate competitions and do our best, and it was weird, but it was like I found this. I really did find this home of misfits, and I loved it.
But and there wasn't any money at the time, right?
I mean, no,
the sponsorships and all that stuff just not even in existence.
Not even well, not even a dream either. Do you know what I mean? I guess people ask me all the time, like, was this. Is this your dream come true? And I was just like, this dream didn't exist.
Right.
No.
There were no one was making a living.
You couldn't think of even having a sponsor because it didn't exist at the time.
Yeah, well, a sponsor meant that you got a free skateboard.
Right. And you talk about, Tony, I think one of the first tournaments that you won, you got $150, which we laugh at today, but you were what, a 14-year-old kid? You were like, $150, that's pretty cool to skate anyway, right?
Yes, that was, I remember watching my bank account grow to I think it was $500 over the course of the year or something.
And you thought,
and
I am
I
rich.
Went straight to the Honda dealership and I bought a moped.
That's awesome. You know what the analogy is? And Kevin brings up a great point about how this kind of saved so many of you kids in the Bones Brigade because you didn't have anything else that you were as passionate about. I mean, this really kind of gave your life some shape. It's kind of like in a rock band. It's kind of like people who discover music and that's their muse. And the Bones Brigade also, they put you guys together not because you were the best or you were winning, but because of something else, that X factor that you had, that passion that you were going to stick with and you're going to make something special. Like, you don't always need the best musicians to make the best band. You know what I mean?
So are you saying we're like in sync in that way?
No, I'm not. That's not what Bean was saying.
Yes.
That's not the name I'm coming up with. But I mean, some of the guys in the early, you know, they were skating, you know, they were coming in fifth or something like that, but they had that extra something.
Stacey just had an eye for unique talent.
Yeah. And it's so amazing for anyone who has enjoyed skateboarding, you know, up to, you know, the present day with the X Games and everything else like this. It's so cool to roll back the clock and see what it was like in the early days when, I don't know, like the day the Ollie was invented. You talk about that in the movie. I mean, tell me what the impact of that was back then, Tony.
Well, that is the literally the trick of the century. All modern skating is based on that trick. You know, anything you do, it's hard to not Ollie into or from the trick. In the newer tricks that you're doing, everything starts with the Ollie these days. And that was invented by an amateur skater from Florida who was part of the Powell team, Alan Gelfin. And I don't think, I mean, he knew he wasn't creating a revolution. We were just more, it was like a circus trick to us. It was like, oh, that's cool. It has magic. How did he do that without his hands?
and people would see it on video and they'd think it was, like you said, it was magic. It was a trick of photography, right?
Yeah. And then Rodney Mullen took that to the flat, to the street. And even then it was more of a novelty. It was like, oh, look at that. He can do that from the ground.
Yeah,
has magnets on his board.
It's so funny. We talk to people who are, you know, parts of TV shows, or they take a movie, and you go, "Could you have ever imagined?" This group could imagine the world that exists now less than anyone on the planet, right? I mean, it's just not possible to get to the point where we are now.
Yeah, it's well.
You guys had no idea you were starting something huge.
No, and that's the thing people ask me all the time, like, what do you think about this? You know, the kids that they're spinning 900s and 1080s, and I'm like, well, I think it's amazing. You know, we didn't have the facilities or the support for things like that, you know, and I love that it evolved so quickly and the kids are encouraged to get into it at a younger age now. But they literally have foam pits to jump into.
Right.
And lucky them.
Yeah. We are talking to the great Tony Hawk, longtime friend of K-Rock, about Bones Brigade movie that is out now from director Stacy Peralta. BonesBrigade.com is where you want to go, by the way, for digital download. You want to get on DVD or Blu-ray. It's also showing at the Lemley NoHo 7 today. Sold out every showing today, by the way. But go to Lemley.com to find out more. You know, you talk about equipment, Tony. Something else that I thought was super fascinating in the movie that I really didn't know much about this chapter of your sport. And that is, there was a time early on in skateboarding where it collapsed, where it looked like it was going away and it was a fad and people were saying it's a hula hoop, we're moving on to the next thing. And that's what kind of made you guys get creative and start skating in pools and, you know, up against dams or wherever else you could find, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's how I was treated in school as well. Like, I was still hanging on to this toy.
Right.
You know, it was just like, you're so lame. Your skating is like last year. And that was it. And to be honest, that's when we fell in love with it in terms of the action of it. When I saw, the first time I ever found my way to the skate park, and I saw people flying out of empty swimming pools, I said, that's what I want to do. I want to fly like those guys. I was tiny, but I was like, that looks incredible. You know, I guess the same way kids probably view like motocross today. They're
right.
Like, I want to flip and fly and do that stuff. But I didn't know how to make it work for my body type.
Would you say you were tiny? I got to tell you, I was watching you as a kid. Dear God, your legs are small. I've never seen you. They're like the size of straws.
Yeah. No, that's what they said. I was just a human pad.
You look at the knee pad, and it just looks like it's gigantic compared to your little legs.
Yeah, that combined with doing a sport that's considered lame in school, it's a wonder how I taped any girls at all.
Let me play one clip from the movie, and all of your favorite early skaters are in this film. Again, it's called Bones Brigade that we're talking about here on K-Rock. Here's Tony, and this is how Tony may be different from most of us, but listen to what the conclusion is that he comes to after something that happened early on.
Probably one of the biggest turning points of my skating was one of the first times I ever figured out how to get to the top of the pool. I was on this gigantic skateboard, and I hung up and fell, got knocked out, knocked my front teeth out. I think I was 11 or 12. It was heavy. I mean, like, I went ambulance. I didn't remember anything. And I knew right away that I was not going to quit doing this.
Yep, that's the conclusion I'd come to. I lose my front teeth. I go, this is for me.
Well, you know, it wasn't like one of my limbs was inoperable. I just stood out there and skate. And you learn to appreciate modern dentistry very quickly.
I bet you do. It's so cool that you still sound like you have as much passion for skating as you did when you were a little kid, Tony.
Oh, it's amazing. Well, like I said, it's just such an amazing time for skating and the popularity of it, and the fact that I still get to do it for a living is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. And this movie is great, and I'm so grateful that it coincided with the birth of the home video camera, because it's incredible to see you guys when you're 11, 12, 13 years old out there, and that film has survived all this time. That must be such a trip for you to be able to watch.
It is, and a lot of that stuff was shot by my dad on Super 8.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. Well, Stacy Peralta always does a great job, of course, with Riding Giants, Dogtown, and Z-Boys. Now this new one, it's called Bones Brigade. Just go to bonesbrigade.com. You can get it all sorts of different ways. Like I said, hard copies or download. You can see it in the theater. It's everywhere.
You get
it
on iTunes.
Great. Yeah, iTunes. It is great. You will really, really love it. Tony, I'm so happy you came on to talk about it today, man. We really enjoyed it.
All right, me too. Thanks.
Final look at the Showbiz Beat now. Ralph Garman joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
So we have Berenice Marlowe, the James Bond girl.
Yeah.
From Skyfall, it opens today in the studio yesterday.
She was so in love with me.
Stop it.
First of all.
Well, that's because you came around the console and molested her. She was trying to leave.
This is not true.
It's
a lie.
Kevin
Ralph said I gave her no
hug.
Choice but to hug me.
You didn't. You came around the console with your arms spread wide like you were a four-year-old trying to show how big the world is. It's this big. And she's looking at you and you're just...
That is not true.
Just Frankensteining towards her. She had no choice
but to
hug you.
She wanted to hug me so bad.
She's Kevin like, I wonder why she shook your hand and then had to hug Kevin. It's like Kevin didn't give her a chance.
How dare you.
Kevin was a goalie and she was the puck. He was going to make sure that she did not get past
it. It's more like he was Brian Urlacher and she was a quarterback. So we got her on.
Yeah.
The show.
Yeah.
And Bean says to her off air, he says, do you know Jessica Paré? Who's another actress who speaks French.
Right.
As if all actresses who speak French know each other.
She's Megan Draper, Don Draper's wife on Mad Men. Yeah, and that's what I thought. I thought, why wouldn't all actresses, same profession, same language, might be comfortable speaking
France
their own language?
France is a big place.
Until I pointed out that not only...
Hold on, before you get there. France is a huge place.
Yeah.
It's very possible that most actors don't know most actors in France.
Right. Really?
Now, the woman that you're talking about, Ralph has an update on.
Jessica Paré is Canadian. She speaks French because she's French-Canadian. Not Parisian.
Montreal, not Paris.
Not French. Doesn't live in France. So somehow you thought that because
they would know each other.
A French actress speaks French and a Canadian actress also fluent in French would somehow have to be in contact with each other in some way.
Yeah, isn't it a small business, Hollywood? Come on.
No.
Shockingly... And I continued this train of thought with her. She doesn't know Marion Cotillard either, who is
she
French.
No, I don't know.
I was surprised by that, frankly.
It'd be
absurd.
You being in Paris and someone saying, oh, you're from America?
Yeah, right. You know Paul? Come on.
Do you know Bubba the Love Sponge?
No, I'm sorry. He's from Canada.
I accept your score. And it was not the most brilliant line of questioning ever.
So embarrassing.
Wait, so then Althea Ralph said, she's French-Canadian. And then Bean said, well, French-ish.
Yeah,
French-ish. As if that's supposed to explain it.
You cannot go under the knife fast enough for me.
You are bad on every level. The one thing
we know is Berenice is not coming back after the reception she got from Kevin and me.
Oh, yeah. She liked my reception.
She got pummeled by you verbally, and then she got pummeled by Kevin physically.
And by the way, mister, you're not quite off the hook
what
yet.
What did I do?
All you were trying to do was talk her into the parking lot to get into your Aston Martin, if you recall.
All
you wouldn't shut up about your goddamn car in the parking lot.
I said, you know, I've got an Aston Martin in the parking lot if you want to give it a go around.
Yeah.
I didn't think you get a chance to drive it in the movie. So
I didn't have the car, so I had to use my arms.
Take
me, Kevin. You hug her.
Now listen, Ralph, I know you've got the showbiz that you want to get to.
Meh.
But this is, you know, the final few minutes of the Kevin and Bean Show. We have somebody on the phone, I think, that you're going to want to talk to instead of whatever it is you were going to talk about.
Oh.
All right. I bring to you Ralph Garman's mortal enemy, Petros Papadakis, for the Petros and Money Show.
Freaking Petros Papadakis.
Oh, what happened?
Don't take his call. Don't take his freaking phone call.
Oh, no, we like Petros.
No, he's dead. He's dead to me.
Hey, P.
What's popping with you guys?
Yeah, what's popping with you?
What are you a-hole?
What are you upset about, Ralph? I don't understand.
Because he's a dick.
What? He's always been our friend.
Oh, has he been?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was my friend yesterday, was he?
Well, I don't know what happened.
All I know is on his little radio program there, the little Petros and Money show.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you tell everybody who your special guest was yesterday, Petros?
We had many.
Yeah, yeah. anyone in particular you think I might be interested in?
Eddie Money.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah!
Was he singing? Was he performing live on your show yesterday?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he was.
All right, so P and Money made a bad decision on a guest. How does that affect you?
They made an excellent decision on a guest. Their bad decision was neither one of them, who I've known now for years, who consider I used to consider them close friends, neither one of them turned to each other and said, hey, you know, Ralph's a big Eddie Money fan. Maybe we should give him a call. Maybe he'd like to come down here and hang out. Money Man perform live. Maybe he would enjoy that. Maybe he would. Maybe.
P, did that cross your mind?
Here's what happened.
Uh-huh.
We were doing a radio song for the Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Right,
yeah.
We had many guests.
Mm-hmm, uh-huh.
It was a very hectic day.
Right.
Matt was not in studio. He was at the NFL Network.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Eddie Money was paraded in and paraded out very quickly.
Right,
uh-huh.
It happened very fast.
So it was a surprise you didn't know he was coming? He showed up like Bob Hope did on the old Johnny Carson show, just walked in the studio doors?
To be honest, in all fairness to myself, to be honest, I did not know he was going to be in studio. I thought he might be on the phone.
Oh.
But he did show up in studio, and
nice.
He sang a song about a dead soldier.
Good times.
He looked around with sunglasses on indoors. He gave me a hug. He told some very antiquated jokes, and then he left. I am deeply sorry.
Uh-huh.
I saw Ralph's tweet today.
Yeah.
It's not the first time Ralph has told me that I'm dead to him.
Yeah, but this time you're really dead.
But
I have come back to life before.
But P, Ralph has an unnatural love for Eddie Money, and I don't blame you for not remembering
but
that.
No, but because look, it's absurd. So widely known, because the unnatural
it's
love
absurd.
For Eddie Money is so widely known, that's why P should, it should the light bulb should have gone off in his head.
You're correct. I'm proud of you, P. It was a gross oversight by me. I also love Eddie Money.
Uh-huh.
And any opportunity to see Ralph and how his face lights up around the Money Man
sure.
is certainly an opportunity that I don't want to miss.
Right.
I was derelict in my duties
mm-hmm. okay.
to notify Ralph Garman, who walks the showbiz beat. I was, and I am sorry.
Oh.
It sounds very uh-huh. sincere, Ralph. Are you going to accept Petros' apology?
I will take it under consideration. I can promise no more than that. All I know is when we have the Bachelor and or Bachelorette in studio for an interview, I know who I won't be calling. That's all I got to say.
You know, I there's a lot of people in the world that I like. I mean, a whole lot. And a lot of those people happen to come through the very popular Kevin and Bean show.
Right.
And I don't get a lot of heads up. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that I deserve it. I'm just saying I don't get a heads up.
That's
that,
fair.
You know, that Topanga from Boy Meets World is coming in, and everybody knows I like how fat she is.
Yeah, that's the show with the robot, right, Ralph?
The Danielle Fishel. No, it's not a robot. That's Small Wonder, Bean.
Oh, sorry. All right, P. Well, listen,
I would like a heads up if Vicky, the Small Wonder Robot, is coming in as well.
Okay.
All right. Next time we book her as a guest,
guaranteed.
We absolutely will call you.
Guaranteed.
All right.
I want to make sure that my friends are friends here. So are we cool? Is everybody cool here on this phone call? Ralph, you cool?
Yeah, I suppose. I suppose we're cool.
P?
Well, that's a little reluctant from him, but
I say, man, you broke my heart. It's a little quick to ask me to come back. You're like K-Stu asking our Pat just to move right back in, you know?
Look, I don't want to be blunt here, but Eddie Money is not a hard get.
Good point. Good point.
Guys,
all right,
you guys
P,
can get him in.
We don't want him.
That's the problem. They won't let me book him. That's
we
why I get on you guys.
Are not interested.
All right, well, I'll rebook him in a couple weeks, and we'll get Ralph in there.
That is a bad booking, my
friend.
We'll
finally do that long-awaited duet that Money Man and I never got a chance to
it
do.
It has to happen.
And
by never got a chance, he did it. You were standing on the side of the stage. He forgot you.
He didn't
Eddie
forget
Money
me.
Forgot
You're
you.
You're telling the
you
story
should,
incorrectly.
Please.
We're wasting Petros' time.
Thank you,
P. Point.
Thank you, P. Say hi to the baby for us.
Once again, my deepest apologies.
Well, thanks for the olive branch, brother. Okay, we're good now. We're good.
A thousand, I'm sorry.
All right. All right. We too many now.
You're sorry. Now I'm changing my mind.
All right. Thank you, P. Bye.
Well, I feel better now. I'm glad.
I'm good. I knew that that was eating inside.
I'm glad that beef. That beef is no longer active the way they, you know, like we say in the rap world.
Sure.
I'm glad we don't have a beef anymore with the P&M show. Or P&M. What's that show called?
PMS.
PMS. That's it. Right. Yeah. I'm glad that's all been settled.
Set us some money.
Oh, wow. Look at the time, won't you?
Well, say goodbye, everybody.
Say goodbye to Bean, everybody.
Yeah.
Bye, Bean.
It's been a nice life.
Really, thanks for everything, buddy. And
it's been great.
We'll look after the Donna and the sheep.
Mm-hmm. Guys, I promise you. I'm not going to die. I will be back in a couple of weeks.
Don't make threats.
We'll see. Yeah.
Don't
threaten us.
I think the plan is that Dave will tweet from at Kevin and Bean sometime on Tuesday if he gets the word that or alive, he's going to tweet to let everybody. So if anyone is interested in how the surgery goes, he is going to tweet that out on Tuesday.
Wednesday morning, we will do a death corner, a special death corner.
Well, I heard Dave scrubbing in. I heard he's going to be in there. He's going to be one of the surgical nurses. Is that incorrect?
I hope that's not true.
Oh, I left this sponge inside him.
It's not my fault.
It's not your fault, Dave. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. We haven't mentioned this a lot, but
or at all.
Monday morning.
Yes.
Monday morning at 7:15. Details on both nights of the 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic
Christmas. Is it that time already?
It is that time already.
Wow.
Monday morning at 7:15. We'll see you then for that. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Bye, Bean.
Bye, Bean.
Bye, Bean. Fire beer mug.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
His final words were fire beer
mug. Pass it over to me.
God, I'm sick and tired of this shit.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Roll another one.
I loved McHale's Navy.
Just like the other one.
Well, that's simply unacceptable.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Hi, am I on the air?
I need another gift.
Well, we all are impatient. We don't like to put off things, and we want what we want when we want it. And sometimes we end up spending a lot of time and money, and then sadly we don't end up with what we really wanted.
Roll.
She's been arguing with me too long.
Roll another one.
What is happening?
Just like the other one.
Wow, how disappointing was that question?
My name is Iqbal.
I don't have another cent.
I can't fire him. We work for the government, and he's B-L-A-C-K.
Just pass it around.
Hey, it's Beer Mug here.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Yeah, that's hot.
But just pass it on down. Pass it on down.
Mr. Donaghy, your closing statements?
When our founding fathers first set out, time and time again, our nation horizon, prosperity, dreams, freedom. But the spirit, journey, destiny. I've met people for this generation and generations to come. Thank you, America.
This is such bullshit. You've wasted all those hours. F*** you. And thank you so much. You've been so helpful. Now get the f*** out of the way.
That happened.